go smoke a piece of hash.
From under the glass, I forgot the glass.
Fuck yeah.
And if we fucking use this, it'll melt that fucking, we'll be smoking formaldehyde. fucking water bottle. God knows what other.
This show is brought to you by Onnit.com.
Like a motherfucker.
Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off all of their great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood. That wasn't Alpha Brain. Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport, and Strong Bone. Use code word church to get 10% off. Show is also brought to you by NailedItLife.com. For all the oil and wax smokers out there, go to NailedItLife.com for the premier vapor pen on the market. Use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off. And if you live in California, only if you live in California, Nailed It Life are also the makers of Los Gummies Hermanos, one of the best edibles on the market. Los Gummies Hermanos, look forward at your local dispensary or hit Nailed It Life up on Instagram. And lastly, go to hitecigs.com. Hit letter ecigs.com. Better tasting, longer lasting. The proof is in the vape. They have e-cigarettes and e-cigars for you. And when you use code word Joey's Church, you're going to get 5 hit e-cigs for $50.
Oye, y ese pito.
Oh, shit. Old school coming at you. Joe Cuba, 19 fucking 60, New York City. Oh shit. Ralphie May.
Yeah, baby.
The Flying Jew.
Hello.
Oh shit. Kick it, Lee. Kick this motherfucker. This is the mule right here. Oh! Oh shit! This is in Brooklyn, the movie Brooklyn. Leave that. He goes into the bodega and there's a Puerto Rican transvestite, and he's dancing to this by the fucking refrigerator. I started crying in the movie theater. Crying. That's the Puerto Rican bodega. And she was luring the customers. When they go get like a bottle of beer, she like lure them over when they were all drunk and rub up against them and shit. What's happening, cocksuckers? The church, what's happening now? Monday, August 17th, the day the devil was fucking sodomized and sent back to fucking Gomorrah. What's going on, Ralphie?
Man, nothing shaking for me, Bobby.
That fucking hash got me all fucked up. It's Hash Monday. The Catholics have Hash Wednesday. We got Hash Monday.
It's always Hash Monday.
It's always fucking Hash Monday.
And this, of course, is
direct from Isis to the One-Eyed Jew.
And then I love
it. This fucking other shit. The crystals of death.
Ooh.
Look at this. It won't even fucking fall off the side. Look at that.
Jesus.
Thing. It's like mixed opium and hash and fucking
straight from Bin Laden's asshole right there.
Oh, this is the shit. It came over. What's happening, Lisa? You up in Toronto?
Yeah, I had a great weekend.
Telling people how to do a podcast. You're like a regular fucking Simon Bostinister.
Who's that?
Some fucking superhero from the 70s.
It was great. I went to the Underground the night before after Steve's shows, and I met Puff Mama, who knew you from before. I had a podcast that I've never had my name on anything before. Like, I've gone with you to things, and it's fun. But, like, I started getting really nervous after I dropped Paula off the night before I left. Because I realized I was packing, and like my name was on it, and it was just. But it couldn't have been more fun. We did dabs. I met this great guy David who works for like the biggest pot grower in Canada, and he was telling me all about it. And then the next day we had like 20 people at the podcast seminar. It was great. It was the coolest thing about it was there were people there who didn't know me from the podcast, and I got this one guy was there. He was like 80 years old, but he wanted to start a podcast. It was great.
All right.
That's kick ass, man.
Yeah,
I love Toronto, man.
Oh my god, I've never been to Canada.
Oh really?
I've always heard everyone was really nice, but it was just so much fun and the food was great and it was
good Chinese up there.
Fuck yeah, man.
They don't fuck around up there. Good weed. They ain't fucking around up there. I miss that.
Birds in the fucking windows, man.
Remember when they were shooting everything up there?
Yeah, that was good because you go one street and it's New York. You turn another street, it's fucking Chicago. You go in one place, it's goddamn Philadelphia. I mean, it's fucking the greatest town to shoot in, and the people are amazing, man.
They don't shoot there no more like they used to.
You know they don't. I think the dollar got weaker against the Canadian dollar.
It used to be, but not anymore. Now it's like 130. American for every dollar Canadian, so maybe more stuff will go up.
I remember being up there at the comedy club Boris.
Yeah, Underground.
Hollywood.
Yeah, Comedywood.
Comedywood. It was 2 weeks for $1,200, $600 a week, the headline.
Brutal.
And you lived over the bar. But then the second week, you went to the other club, and you lived in a house with his crazy brother, who was a driver for a hooker service.
Yeah.
And he would wake you up and like, listen, this one got beat up. She's bleeding from the head. She'll suck your dick for the small 15. It was crazy.
15 Canadian.
I had to keep the door locked. It was horrible.
That's 8 US.
But I remember being on that block and walking down the block one day and seeing Andy Garcia, the guy from fucking Cheers, the fat guy.
Oh, yeah, George Wendt.
Oh, my God, John Voight, all on one block. They were all staying in the same fucking hotel.
Yeah.
Here I am sleeping over a fucking bar.
I know,
and
man.
They're down the corner. They used to deliver weed to your door in those days, 35 and 8.
Yeah.
Toronto's a good. They have a movie theater. 15 years ago, they had a movie theater with couches with waitresses.
Really?
Yeah.
15 years ago, they were.
There's rooms.
And the beer there is so fucking good. You know, when last time I played that, I was at the downtown room, and Mitch Hedberg was at the uptown room, and then we flipped. So we went from Bathurst and Steeles down to down way the fuck down there in downtown. And that's when Mitch met his wife, Lynn. It was a crazy fucking time, man. It was
a blast.
That's
when Mitch and that crazy kid, Josh, got arrested.
Yeah.
They got arrested in Toronto right before he met Lynn.
Yeah.
Right before he met Lynn. That club was okay, but then he cut the money and cut the money and it was weird. I like, you know, and I used to
You know what
in.
I think? I think that fucking, I think he got pressure from the Russian mafia.
Well, he had a partner.
Yeah.
And they were always there and they were like Russian Jews.
Russian Jews.
Chubby guy with glasses.
Yeah.
But it's funny because that whole town, like it was 2 weeks, and I'd settle in there. That was the only town that I broke my thing about strip clubs.
Yeah.
Like I don't go
deadly,
to strip
dude.
Clubs.
Oh my God. So.
Oh, my fucking God.
I went to this weed room the night, like the first night I got there, which they have there, which is the, I think the one thing that LA is kind of missing, just places you can go and smoke and hang out. And these three girls walked in that were literally, one was just wearing, it was possibly the hottest girl I've ever seen. And right down the street, it was called like the Brass Rail.
Yes,
or something.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, man.
You were on Bloor Street.
Yeah,
you were on Bloor Street. That's where you were. I'm telling you, I used to go up there fucking. And here's how I used to do it. This is the craziest story. I used to go to the Improv.
Mm-hmm.
And at the Improv was a nice Irish kid from Manhattan that was going to the U of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
He was working himself through college, and at night, he'd work at the Improv. All right? He had a Puerto Rican girlfriend. This is how weird life is. We're at the bar one day. Who calls me but Roger Paul? And he goes, Boris wants you to do 2 weeks. I go, I can't get into fucking Canada. I just say this
right
in front of you. I go, you know, they want me to go to Toronto. I don't think I can get into Canada. And she goes, I could sneak you into Canada. I do it every day. And I go, you live in Miami? She goes, no, I don't. I just come down to visit this knucklehead. And she goes, I live in Buffalo, New York. But my father's retired. And he's a professional gambler, and he gambles in whatever. They gave him a pass that he goes right fucking through.
Oh, wow.
So he would drive me to Ontario to the bus station, and then I would take the bus from Ontario to Toronto, and I would stay the 2 weeks. But the beauty was on the way out, because then I'd give him my ID, and you'd see him look at the ID and go, like they would fucking look at the computer, and then they'd look at me and they go, when did you come in here? And I go, last week, I came on the other side. No, you didn't. Yes, I did, but it's too late fucking now. You know what I'm saying? It's too late, baby. It's too late. Somebody's going to get fired. So you want to arrest me on the way out and be my fucking guest? I'll say I saw you and your fucking partner here. And they gave me my ID and they said, don't come back. I came back three more fucking times within the next like year and a half.
That's good times,
and the same way. But once 9/11 came, they locked that road up.
Yeah.
They locked that fucking road.
Yeah, you can't hardly get over now.
What a fun city. Well, I miss it. What a fun. And now I'd love to go to Vancouver. I remember 15 years ago. When I'm telling you, this is how long ago. Gavin was still married to his wife.
Oh.
And he lived on Martel.
Wow.
Yeah, Martel. Because him and Keith lived on Martel. This has to be 2000. So it's 15 fucking years ago. 99. There was a girl that used to date Larry Vizeo. That was the fucking cutest blonde girl you ever saw in your life. Her parents were hippies. Her grandparents were hippies. This chick walked around L.A. barefoot, dirty feet, with a suntan that fucking never ended. You know, she grew up on the beach. But her story was she worked on the beach of Vancouver selling pot cookies. Guys, Gavin was still with his wife. This is 99. This is 16 years ago. We're still not selling weed on the fucking beach.
No.
They were selling weed on the beach, cookies. She used to bring them down. And one night she sold me and Gavin a cookie for $5 a piece. And I remember he went home and almost died. Like, I remember, you have another, Lee, can you get two more of these for Uncle Joey? And
these are great. I've never had this before.
That's a dud. That's a dud.
Oh, it's a dud?
Maybe. That's been there for fucking 2 years.
Huh.
But I just the conversation at a table got this girl to call her dad. And here's the best thing. I would take the flight to Buffalo. The dad would pick me up at the airport, take me to his house, let me take a shower, and him and the mother would cook for me Puerto Rican red beans with pork chops.
Fuck yeah, fried man.
And then he'd go, what do you want to do? And I go, nothing. He goes, you want to sit down and relax? You want to drive up there? Let's go. There's a 2 o'clock bus. And that was it. That's how nice these. This is what you.
Man.
This is the people I've met through fucking comedy. Like, this is what you have to write in your book. Like, those little stories that people. This is bullshit.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
The little fucking road stories are the ones that still baffle me. That I just remember right now. Shit like this is what I just remember just talking to you guys.
Yeah, man. This all we need is you drinking on my orange juice, and this is 1440. This is fucking awesome, man. This is just like we used to do. Right there, looking out the goddamn window.
That's, what was the Bloody Mary mix?
Oh, man, it was Texas Pete's Bloody Mary mix that we'd bring out from Houston, and it was deadly. It was so good, so spicy, and then we'd put pickled green beans in it, and shrimp, and lots of horseradish.
In a Bloody Mary?
Fuck yeah. And sometimes I'd fry up a whole piece of bacon and shove that motherfucker in there. That's how you do it, Lee. Put the Jew in your back pocket. I'm going to bring you back to life. That's what we did. We get fucked up on that.
I was having a talk with Ralphie last week, and I said, you know what, Ralphie? Sometimes I just want to blink my eyes and go back to 1440.
Yeah.
Because those nights with no money were some of the best. The night you burned your head, the scalp.
Oh, my God.
There was a Chinese light, and he was yelling at Jody, and his head was perfectly under the Chinese light. And I was about to say something, but you know me, I'm a comedian. I go, let him burn his fucking scalp. And also he goes, And me and Jody just busted out. I remember getting coked up with Jody and drinking the vodka and filling it back up with water.
I know, dick. So funny.
Oh, my God.
Man, how about the time you were over at Gavin's and you had the Bolivian flu and his little cocksucking male fucking pug dog ran up the back of the fucking couch, went to Coco, who's got his eyes closed, sleeping upright, trying to fucking, I mean, just reeking a pussy and fucking yay, and he had shit on his fucking shirt, and that fucking cocksucking dog pissed on your head. That was the fucking funniest shit I've ever seen.
We did a lot of fucking coke in that building.
Ugh, good times.
A lot of fucking coke was done in that building.
I always stayed out of that.
Never did none of that shit. It was just, it was around you.
Yeah.
I used to go to your house, drink Bloody Marys with you.
Yeah.
And be doing little tiny bumps in the bathroom.
Fucking A.
Fucked up in that little apartment till 4 a.m.
How much did you know, Ralphie?
All of it.
He knew.
All of it. Oh, come on, it's Coco. You know what's fun, though, Lee, is when he comes in with the rare story. All right, I started doing blow with this chick. Turns out it wasn't blow, it was heroin. We fucked all night. It was crazy. I loved it. It was tremendous. All right? I think that was 2000. Okay? That was a great one. But that's the only time he ever did. But, dude, Thanksgiving was fucking epic. That Thanksgiving.
With Marilyn up at your house.
Oh, my God. Motherfucker, he ate an ounce of mushrooms, Lee. An ounce. Not a fucking eighth. A goddamn ounce.
I was fucked up, Lee. I kept eating those fucking things.
He ate like a pig. He fucking smoked the best reefer.
That's when you used to have a jar on the
fuck
table.
Fuck yeah, big ass jar.
Fucking pound jar on the table.
Pound jar. Let's do this.
Oh.
And let me tell you what. That I've never seen anybody been able to do that many drugs and stand. Coco not only stood, he went down to the fucking OR, got a big old fucking rock and 8-ball, all right, did that shit, and from what I heard, blew the fucking Comedy Store away.
I hadn't done the coke yet. I got the coke and took it home. I did the mushrooms and went to the store and was fucking lit. And nobody showed up. So, like, you got to go up next. Yeah. I was fucking lit on these mushrooms. And I went up there, and I just looked straight ahead, and the lights were turning purple in the original room. Like, that's all I kept seeing was purple, you know?
Right. But, and I heard you got a standing ovation.
Oh, my God.
People were calling me from the store.
That was like 19 people. It was like 19 people.
Yeah, and you stood them. That's way more impressive than 500 people.
Oh, my God.
If you're a comic and you're hearing this, you understand. To get a standing ovation from 19 fucking people is more amazing than getting it for 25,000 people. That's easy. Anybody can fucking do that, all right? These people were there on Thanksgiving night, and fucking Diaz blew them away. Fucking tremendous.
Those, you know, you think about...
What a night that was. Maryland was all fucked up. We had a blast. We all ate. It was a great time.
I was telling my wife today that it's, you know... We had our friend that called today and said that somebody died. And I'm like, you know, I was eating with my wife at the time. I go, you know what? I don't want to seem like, what's that word when people are, you're not whatever, empathetic.
Ungrateful? Okay.
Empathetic, when you're not empathetic. But life moves on. If I drank with you at a bar 20 years ago and you die, I'm very sad. But what do you want me to do, stop my world? And, you know, and it's just, I think about Maryland a lot. And it
me
pisses
too.
Me off how people talk shit. But I was telling my wife today, I go, you know, I see this girl all the time that was Marilyn's friend. I see her all the time now at the store. And all the times I've seen her, yeah, she comes over and says hello, but she never pulls me inside and says, do you still think about Marilyn? I think about Marilyn every
all the time,
week.
Man.
I light a candle for Marilyn on Mondays. Today, yeah. I light a candle for Marilyn. I say
she's
a prayer
a peach,
for them.
Man.
I change the water for her, and it's weird how for years she used to call me and bitch. And one day I told her, I said, do me a favor, man. Stop fucking bitching. Go out there and rock the world. You know, yeah. You're always bitching about what you're not getting. It's not about what you're not getting. It's focus on what you're getting. If Mitzi's giving you 3 spots, you're getting 3 more spots and a lot of other fucking people in this
yeah,
town.
No shit.
So she would always...
She was so powerful. One of the most powerful women comics I've ever seen.
She would go on stage late night and some nights fucking blow that with that Filipino dick. She used to like to suck Filipino dick. It was like a little sausage. She's rolling around her mouth. That people, she, big guys would say, I lift 300 pounds today. Well, lift me, motherfucker. You know, just dumb shit that would just make you laugh late night.
She's so funny. So funny.
What's up with you, Lisa Ayette, you bad motherfucker? You're going to double tomorrow. That's it. They're making you do kettlebells and jiu-jitsu.
I can't do double. That's crazy.
Yeah, you missed last week. He called me tonight. He's like, did he come last week?
I can, yeah.
Yeah, so he goes, yeah, he's got to do a double. Lee,
you've lost a lot of weight since I saw
Lisa
you last.
He's a fucking animal.
Almost 100.
Kettlebells, jiu-jitsu. He's been stuck at 98 because him and the wife are fucking savages.
Hey, it's not me and the wife. It's me and the fucking 200, 300 milligrams I have.
Oh, please. Please, don't fucking bull. What'd you go to the wife's and eat last night?
Oh, mole.
Yeah.
For the first time ever.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wow.
I know so many people who go on a mole diet.
But
I know so many motherfuckers that include mole in their diet.
She didn't put chocolate in it.
No, you don't need chocolate in fucking mole.
Yes, you
no.
do. That's the half. Isn't that what mole is?
No, that's just one part of Mexico's
part
mole.
Of Mexico's
right?
Mole.
They don't. Her mom and her don't like chocolate in it, so we just had that.
Good.
It's just chicken. What's in the sauce? I have no idea.
Fucking amazing.
It's amazing.
It's a little bit of Jesus.
But yeah, but it wasn't spicy. I'm getting used to spicy. You know, it's not spicy at all.
It can be, depending on the kind.
I didn't, but now I do.
It's just flavorful. That's what, you know, all these white people are afraid of Mexican spice. If you watch Mexican spice food, they just put a little bit of salsa, like a little bit of you dumb white people are used to fucking ketchup on their goddamn tacos. They're retarded. I was in Washington, and my fucking buddy goes, let's go to Taco Time. Okay, it's a chain, a shit chain up there. And the fucking lady said, do you want mild salsa or ketchup on your tacos? And I fucking left. I go, bro, if you eat that, I'm going to fucking fire you because I can't stand to look at your face. And we just left it there. We paid for it and left it. Fuck anybody
Taco
wants it.
Taco Time ain't no Taco Cabana in Houston.
Fuck no, man.
Some potato tacos for breakfast.
Ooh, stop.
And then
taquitos.
You stop at the motherfucking Kolache fucking factory.
They don't know, man. They don't know. We used to fuck it up.
What's been going on, dog? Talk to me.
Man, the summer was a little crazy for me, you know. My PTSD, I thought, was being handled with antidepressants, but it's not. It wasn't. And now it is. And now it's antidepressants and mood stabilizers. And, man, I feel fucking Like, I haven't felt in 5 years, bro. I don't hurt. I am up at 7, throwing sidekicks for Jesus. I'm fucking the wife real good. I'm putting her legs up. I'm hugging my babies. I'm playing with my babies more. I'm more focused on it. And it's like, you know, man, you were absolutely right. I didn't like the fucking truth being told to me, but, man, it was the goddamn truth, Coco. When you broke it down, hey, pal, you've been slipping a little bit. You were fucking right. You were goddamn right. And I didn't know how bad it was until I fucking went to the goddamn doctor and describing all my shit. And he goes, you're under-medicated for your PTSD. You are way the fuck under-medicated. And now, man, I feel like I haven't felt in years, man. Like, the whole world isn't closing in on me. Like, fucking, like, L.A.'s not bothering me as much. Traffic doesn't bother me. Fucking nothing bothers me no more, man. I am fucking great with life. It is fantastic to not be pissed off except for when deadly needed. You know what I mean? It's nice. It's hard. Nice.
It's Joey's one of the worst people to get those truth bombs because in the back of your head, you know he's right.
Oh, and that's the fucking worst.
And he's not right about it. Like, I'm not saying you're right about everything because no one's right about everything.
Nobody is.
But we've had a couple of those talks, and during it, you hate him. It's
brutal.
You
dude.
Hate, and I think it's just anybody who you hate. Like when can like cause it's so.
Who do you
odd.
Hate the most? 9 out of 10 men are mad at their dads. Because they confront us. They're our mirror.
But they're not doing that
you
anymore.
You hate the people. Growing up, I hated my stepdad because he would break my shit. He would break whatever move I made, he was 2 steps ahead of me. You always don't like the people. I grew up around people that in all those years I was fucking up, at the end of the night when I was coming down off the coke, they said, listen, we had a great time and stuff. I got to talk to you. Somebody came and talked to me. They know that this guy, you robbed his house. I don't mean to bring this up, but I didn't want to ruin your night last night. Sleep on the couch, get up in the morning, and we got to handle this. And they're not telling me what to do. They're not asking me what to do. They're kind of hinting to me what the right thing to do. And I get pissed. One of the worst conversations I ever had was with Matt Wood, and when he came up to me at the Comedy Works, and he goes, why do you come here? Ralphie, 95.
Yeah.
I'm ready to kill my ex-wife. I'm living in a basement. I have no food in the refrigerator. I'm sustaining just to do blow, pay my rent, and pay child support. I'm lifting weights. I'm doing the right thing, but I'm on a fucking roll every night. And I would cancel all the time, the open mic. And this guy came up to me, and he goes, can I talk to you for a second? He's like, hey, man, why do you come down here? Why do you waste your time and their time? He goes, let me be as honest as I can with you. He goes, just being you, you're the funniest out of all these open micers. God forbid you wrote a joke, and God forbid you showed up. Look at your T-shirt. You got a white T-shirt on. You got a white T-shirt on. Dog, my hands were fucking clenching to punch this guy in the mouth. And he goes, I'm not saying nothing bad about you. You're funnier than these guys just being you. And you're throwing it away. I know you're doing blow. I know you don't do it here, but I know you're doing. And this guy just read me the rider. I walked to the bus in Denver, Ralphie, and walked back to beat him up. And when I went back, God let him know to get the fuck out of there. He got out of there. You know where I seen the guy again? Bumped into the guy again in 98 at the Brave Bull in Alhambra. And I followed the guy that used to come out with the hat and go, hi. I like my wife and I like my tits with brown coffee. The guy that was like a detective.
Yeah.
Dwight something in the 80s and
90s. Yeah, Dwight Slade?
No, Dwight Slade. The guy's from Portland that was friends with Hicks. This is a different guy. Dwight something. And I followed him and ripped the room apart. And he was back there with Brian Dunkelman.
Oh.
They had just moved to L.A. together.
Man.
And he came up to me.
Dos besos de la muerte.
And I pulled him aside. I go, Matt Wood. And he hugged me and he goes, I'm really proud of you. I go, you know why? Because of that talk you had with me.
Yeah.
And he took me outside. He goes, I was never more scared in my life, but you had to hear it. He goes, me, Todd, and a bunch of comics talked about it, and Todd didn't have the balls to say something to you.
Yeah.
He goes, I thought you were going to punch me in the face. I go, it changed my life. It changed who I am today. I'm in L.A. because of the fucking words you said to me. As much as I hated them that night, you know, you are... In my eyes, when I talk about headliners of this decade, you're the top guys I learned from. you have no time to slip. In The Godfather, there's a line that every time I hear it, I want to punch myself in the face. And it's the fucking worst line you could ever say. But where I come from, it's true. Women and children could slip. Men don't slip. That's it.
Yeah.
Women and children can make a mistake. Men can't make mistakes. We don't have... I don't have time to make a mistake anymore. I do not have time to do anything. We've got handed the keys to the castle, Ralphie, man.
Yeah.
You and I have been handed the keys to the castle.
Without a doubt.
I haven't had a job in 20 fucking years. I've never had to answer to somebody. After I went to prison, I didn't like a man kicking my bed and telling me to wake up.
Right.
I haven't had to answer to somebody. Well, I haven't had to answer to somebody since I was 15. But for a job, to make a living. And somehow it came together. Even when you were in your fucking apartment over there, it always came together. As long as you were out every night.
Right.
You were writing every night.
You fucking hustle. Write every day. Every night.
Is it scary when you see, like, how close it is? Like, so I just did that seminar, and now I'm trying to start doing more of them. And I wasn't even really scared before the first, but now that I'm like, oh, I could see I really enjoy doing it. And now that I could see, not that it's going to be easy, but I can see that but it's possible. Like, after you guys do shows and you see that it's possible, and you know that there's a ton of work to put in, like, at least for me, it got scarier.
I'll tell you what your market needs right now. And this guy's a genius of getting a business for you. But I think right now what you're doing, fuck these little comedians. I think if they're going to start a podcast, they're going to start a podcast. They know how to do it.
Okay.
I think your people is like computer people.
Yeah,
tech
man.
People. People who really are uncomfortable. They don't know this world, and they want to learn it from A to Z. Comics know this world. They have friends that are doing this right now. Every comic's doing this right now.
Okay.
You're going after pennies when you could go after dollars. It's just going to take you a little work. But when you strike one of those companies, you're going to hit.
Oh, you mean go after companies. Okay.
Go after fucking AT&T and go, how come AT&T doesn't have a podcast every week?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Talking about their services and what's going on with phones and technology.
And like answering people's
problems tweets.
And shit. Yeah,
that's love it. Where the dough is right now. That's your next move. That's who's at home going. Right now, there's a board meeting going.
Right.
We're losing 22% because we're not computer... We're not in the fucking computer savvy.
Yeah.
What is going on? Tell us about this Twitter.
Look at fucking Amazon. Amazon today is getting slammed by fucking shit work conditions for people. I mean, they're keeping people working in fucking warehouses over 110 degrees with no breaks. They time everything. They need some fucking counter that shit. I mean, I don't want to buy Amazon now. I mean, but if they would have a podcast that could explain it and tell me, hey, the air conditioning broke, you know, maybe I don't know the full context. Maybe the full context is not being reported. You know, those fucking news agencies is always a fucking by the way. I'd like to hear the other guy's fucking side of this shit. All right? And that's exactly what they need, Lee.
I mean, you can
fucking kill that shit,
and
dude.
And you know who told me this once? I remember Houston was the hottest comedy thing of all time.
Yeah.
And in the late 90s, it was really booming. And one day I went to do Latino night, and Dane Cook was there. And I go up to Dane. I go, Dane, how is Houston? He goes, man, that's a great club. But he goes, you know what? It was too many shows for the money. I got to figure out how to just do one big show there. 5 years later, he was doing theaters, Lee.
So
my point is, Lee, that, you could go to comedy clubs around the country. There's expenses. And, you know, how expensive is being out there, Ralphie, man?
It's fucking the biggest expenses.
So there's a lot of expenses for the price you were charging. I mean, your thing is a workshop.
Right.
It's 9 to 5 type deal for these people. Like, your thing is a workshop. Your thing isn't just 1 hour. Your thing is a fucking workshop.
Yeah, we did like almost 2 hours and there wasn't enough time.
No, your thing is a workshop. There's two parts to yours. They got to go eat lunch and come back and have questions.
Do you think you should just do like rent a room at a hotel? That's what I've been thinking about.
Like fucking, yeah.
Yeah.
Build it, they'll come.
And do it off days. You can save a lot of money if you do it off days, bro. And, you know, if you can and book into it that you can adjust the size of the room. All right, so if you have a big turnout, then they can open it up. If
like
not,
bananas.
They keep a small, boom, like bananas.
Like bananas in Jersey.
Yep.
And you could do
Hasbrook Heights.
You know, you ever see those commercials for real estate people that come to your town and teach you how to make $1 million?
Yeah, but that's a scam. Estate? I don't want to scam anyone.
You're not scamming nobody. I'm just saying it's the same type of thing. Lisa Ayotte will be in your area. And then what you could do is maybe do a big one and then do a comedy club. So you get two bangs for a buck.
Okay.
I bet Zanies in Nashville would do it, bro.
Yeah, Zanies in Nashville.
There's a ton of comics there that need to be podcasting. And if you had there, I mean, you could do, they put it out to all the comedy clubs in the Southeast, and all of these comics have come. There's fucking 40 guys in Memphis. There's fucking shit ton in Louisville, Lexington, fucking Knoxville, Chattanooga, Atlanta, Birmingham. Man, all of those guys will come up.
I'd love to do them everywhere, but and that was the one thing that I was surprised by. Like, the crowd that came out to Toronto wasn't a lot of comics. There were a couple there, but it was mostly other people.
Yeah. You need, man, right now, there's businesses that really need your services. You have to find a way to reach them and go, listen, you know how long you've been plumbing? 32 years. Not for nothing. If you're making a living doing it, you know a thing or two.
Right.
Get somebody else on there, even if it's for a half hour, the plumbing show. Who gives a fuck? Yeah. Today, didn't fucking Home Improvement, remember for years?
Oh, yeah, man.
He would teach how to tear up a floor. What's the difference doing it on a fucking podcast?
No, there is no difference.
What's the difference? People want to hear that. I'll hear it on the radio. Yeah. Work.
And so, a lot of those guys are fucking funny as shit,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they are, naturally. They just need a co-host, somebody in between.
Yeah, and to steer them. Somebody's got to steer them.
There's got to be a program also, Lee, that you could push these people on to go 1, 2, 3 ABC and do what you did. Call them and go, hey, I'm referring these people.
I did that.
You know, I know you did that, but you have to do it more with more companies now. Yeah. Now, the next one is the people they contact to download it because you're leaving. So they don't know how to fucking download it. So there's got to be a company to teach them how to do that. Now you got to go to them and go, oh, yo, I'm going to send you 18 fucking people a dollar a piece every week. Whatever. I'm just saying.
Right.
You're sitting on a gold mine.
Lee.
Just, you have to point that the right direction. Yeah. You have a
brother,
great bullet.
Just come to Nashville, okay? I'll set it up. I'll get you a night, okay? I know everybody fucking run out there and supports you. Nashville always supports us podcaster comics, okay?
That'd be great.
And not only that, you don't even have to get a hotel, Lee. You can stay at my house.
My house
is like eight
it's
blocks
empty,
away
it's
from
empty,
the club.
Empty.
And it's empty. And it's a big fucking house.
There's
it's food
in the freezer.
Fuck
there's
yeah,
chili,
man.
There's chili. There's fucking everything.
Thank you.
I got everything
that.
In there ready to go.
I'd love to.
Yeah, man. Lee, it'd be my pleasure. And I even got my buddy Aaron who'll pick you up from the from the airport. My car. You can drive my car.
Oh my God. Thank you.
People talk to me all the time about starting something. And
yeah.
Especially when I go on the road that they do this. I had a dentist talk to me about it. I had a shoe guy. But I fucking lost a car.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, in Boston, yeah.
But Boston. I had a... People are interested in this. They just don't know where to start. It's like, what's his name said in The Sopranos. Everybody wants a cooler. They just don't know where to buy one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Well, that's the issue I found when I was building it. It's just, if you Google it, there's 8,000 people telling you 20,000 different ways to build a podcast. So, like, that's what I said at the beginning. Like, this is just the way I did
it. Listen, but here's the fucking thing. Okay, this is me. This is fucking me, okay? Yes, I bought the fucking Judy Brown workbook.
Right.
And I read about comedy like every other comedy did. But I learned from watching Ralphie May. I learned from watching Bill Burr and Greg Giraldo and Joe Rogan and Ari and Duncan. You learn different things, okay? Right now, you know, I saw that ad for the people on TV. Hi, we could up your marketing and do this and this and this. That's great. But I'll tell you what you got. You got some kid that went to school for marketing. The difference between that kid and you is you're living it. You've seen it. You've seen how our numbers went up, what we did, what works, and what different works in some markets. How many times have you called me and said, wow, we had this guy on who's a celebrity, and he's got no hits, and this guy's a plumber, and he's got 2,000 fucking hits. I wonder what the fuck happened. We learned not to release a podcast on a Friday.
Right.
That it's a dead fucking thing. We learned not to edit a fucking podcast. These are the things we learned by doing. We used to do a podcast. We used to edit it. We stopped editing it. The numbers went through the fucking roof.
Right.
You know, when they hear you say fuck and yam and fucking Chinese and,
they love
and all
that
this
shit.
They love that
you
shit because you're talking
a
from the fucking
chink
heart.
And a nig
so
once
this
in a
is
while.
Yeah. So this is what you have to tell the people that they're gonna sit there and look at you. If I had any type of business today, flooring and fucking tiles, if I wasn't a snappy guy, I'd have somebody in there, but I'd have them pushing the envelope. Because I want people to say, what the fuck is Ralphie May Flooring talking about?
Right.
Fingers up an asshole. This could not continue on my Twitter. I'm a Christian. These are the people that push you more. These are the people that are going to go, you own that company? And that's what you're trying to do.
Not laughing,
right, that's Tony. What you're trying to do online. That is the social whatever. You could go on Facebook and dick around and show people what you had for lunch. Who gives a fuck? You know, who gives a fuck? Unless you're eating...
Especially because people follow so many people, you really have to stick out.
You really have to stick out. And especially if you have a business.
If you say, I mean, you'll get a lot of hits if you, like, took what you had for lunch and it's, like, Jiner. You know, if it's a nice pussy meat. All right? That'll get a lot of hits. All right, but that's the only it, man. If you're taking a picture of your fucking sandwich, go fuck yourself.
Why don't you tape your workouts? I like going to VMAC for the kettlebells. But when they tape my workouts, it drives me crazy. I do it for them because I like them. But I don't do it for me. I fucking hate that shit.
I hate
that shit. For me to go to the gym and periscope myself. Listen, I go on the periscope and I do what I do best. And that's smoke reefer for 5 minutes. After that, I'm hot. I don't want to talk to nobody after 5 minutes. Right or wrong? If you're smoking good weed, you smoked the joint, you had your soda, you had your donut. Is there anything else I could do for you?
No.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Pasadena, Lena.
I'm putting the
get the fuck out of here.
I'm putting the stereo on. I'm getting fucking
That's like, right, man. I'm fucking YouTube music.
I want to sit here and smoke dope and look at you, scratch your feet. Go to your own house and scratch your feet. Let me sit here and meditate on this fucking hash I just smoked. I'm hearing fucking sirens and shit. That's the point. That's the fucking point of this whole thing, is to get away, and people want to fucking crowd you. I love getting high, but I don't trust it anymore. My favorite thing in life is to get high and put fucking speakers on and just go for a fucking walk in the sun. You can't do it no more. Somebody's going to come up behind you and shoot you in the head, or you don't hear explosions, or... ISIS is running through the park, and there you are listening to fucking Prince.
Man, fucking speaking of ISIS, I was down in Irvine. Holy shit. That is the most Arabs I've seen since fucking Kuwait.
Have they taken over Irvine? Holy shit.
Dude, these fucking retards, they throw their goddamn carpets out in front of the fucking fountain. It looks like valet parking for magic carpets. It's Arabian Nights.
Why are you tormenting these beautiful people?
It's Arabian Days. Hey, because it looked blow-up-y as fuck out there. That's why. Because those fucking, they're very combustible. That's why. No. And I've gotten shot at by those cocksuckers, Coco.
That's those people over
there.
I've been to Iraq. Not the ones here. They're nice people.
Hey,
I'm telling you.
I don't know they're nice people, Coco, because I can't fucking tell their difference. They're walking around with that fucking hot jeep or whatever the fuck that shit is. Nice. Looking blow up-y like a motherfucker.
I'll tell you what.
I'll throw a ham sandwich at them. They'll kill themselves. I've solved this fucking problem.
Always had fucking success with people from those communities. I don't know why. And when I was young, you know, I had my
I like some of them. You know who I really dig? And it's fucking crazy. Iranians. I fucking like Iranians more than I do the Arabs. All right? I love them way more.
I love the Iranians. I love the Armenians.
Oh, I like the Armenians, too. They're fucking crazy. It's like, hey, comb your shoulder, bro.
At this point in my life, I like everybody. Yeah, right? Yeah, listen.
I hate Russians. I'll tell you that. I don't like fucking Russians.
Why don't you keep it up? Keep it up. They're going to drop a grenade and Russians and fucking Arabs.
I hate fucking Russians.
Russians are nice.
I've hated Russians since goddamn 84.
Why are you
insulting
when
they killed
me?
Swayze and Red Dawn, they can suck my dick. And you know what? They killed Apollo Creed, too, nigger.
So what?
Don't forget.
Both
you
of them
slipping.
Died on the street,
hey,
too.
Go fuck that self. All right, those cocksucking Russians. They put baby in the corner. Fuck them motherfuckers. I hate those cocksuckers.
Russian people are very
a dick, Russians.
They got nice fucking weed stores. They don't bother nobody. They always give you an extra gram. They know what's going on.
Yeah, the Russians they're the ones who are seeking the great American dream and taking over white people and punching them in the face. I'm talking about the cocksucker Russians, okay, that in Russia, okay? I mean, Lee's probably fucking Russian Jew.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, he's Ashkenazi like a nig, man. I love that guy, all right? But that's what it is. That's what it is. Lee's down, okay?
Ashkenazi
I like Lee.
Ashkenazi like a nig. That's
yeah, right?
Nice.
For real, because look at you, Lee. You ain't wearing no sweater in the fucking summer, okay? You ain't smoking shit crazy cigarettes. You don't smell like smoked fish, all right? Those Jews always smell like fucking fish, those fucking crazy Russian Jews over there in West Hollywood.
That's all they got.
That's all they got, bro.
Where are they? On Fairfax?
Oh, man, I wish they were on Fairfax. They're on Sunset. That's a big place, that club by that urban ramen place. That used to be that. I mean, it's been like 1,000 places. It was right across from Green Tea House where we used to go. You remember we used to go over there for fucking? It's right across. That's a big Russian hangout, dude. They're all Russian gangsters. All right? One of their girls hit one of our cars, and they came out and said it was our fault. And the car was parked, and nobody was in the fucking car. And they started fucking saying something. And you know me, Coco, I carry a pistol a lot. A lot, okay? I've got a class 3 weapons license, okay? And I've got distinction from the FBI, all right? I can carry the fucking thing anywhere, okay? I can fly with it, all right? And I'll just fucking pull my gun. I just pulled the gun, and the guys backed the fuck off, and we got to exchange information, and fucking went there, and no drama, all right? But they were fucking surrounding my wife. What the fuck am I supposed to do?
I got hit by a Russian lady in a parking lot up here, and she refused to admit it was her.
Yeah, exactly.
And she was like 90 years old, so I felt really bad. But she was like, no, that wasn't me. And her car was filled with dents. Just, oh my God.
I got hit by a Russian
me
chick.
Me too.
She
on
paid
Stanley.
Me. Fuck you, pay me. You fuck gotta pay me. I got that one insurance. I don't know who the fuck they are.
Fuck you, pay me, and see you later. Bye. Are you?
It's crazy, though. I used to, you know. I always crack jokes, and like I say on stage, I'm not really a racist at all. I'm not a, you know, whatever, but I say racist remarks for a laugh for myself, at least to keep me the fuck
you're
sane.
You're insensitive.
Because in the back of my mind, I know they're saying shit about Spicks.
Oh, man.
If I'm not around, I know people are talking about Mexicans, and I'm not even fucking Mexican. I hear them. I hear people talking about Mexican, their real views.
Yeah, man.
And I giggle, and I don't make a joke, but I fucking right. know. Now at least I know how you feel.
Right.
You know, it doesn't bother me. I'm not. Listen, I've never felt. I felt insecure growing up to like being second, like being third tier because I was Cuban. But I never got offended when people said shit to me growing
dude,
up.
Dude, I was white trash.
I
was
never
fucking
really
white trash, and now I'm fat white
offended.
Trash. You know?
What are you going to do? You are what the fuck you are.
Right, exactly. And fuck it.
I learned early on, if they say that type of shit, just giggle. And I always did.
They're just
I
dumb.
Never had a beef with it. One time I had a beef with it. And I had it. I was mad anyway, so he just gave me an excuse. What's up, Lee? Look at you. You're back in coma fucking.
Hell yeah.
Mama waiting for you tonight?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she's there.
What you making over there? What's she making
cooking?
For dinner?
I don't know what's for dinner.
She's surprising you?
Yeah, I guess.
What do you think? What do you think it is? What do you bank on?
Probably like a sandwich. I don't know, like a turkey sandwich.
You think turkey?
Oh, yeah?
That's what she's making you for dinner?
I don't know.
You know what I made my kids for lunch?
A fucking turkey sandwich?
I don't know. It's going to be like 11 o'clock at night.
So you know, Lee, you gotta come to my house for a turkey sandwich. I get Jewish rye, all right? And I put a little Russian dressing on there. I know I hate the Russians, so it's ironic that I like the dressing. All right? And then good-ass turkey right there. A little sauerkraut. Make a Reuben right there.
I've never tried sauerkraut.
And cheese. What? You'd love it,
You've
Lee.
Never had
You'd
sauerkraut.
Love it.
No.
You'd love it. Man, you are the
once.
Shittiest Jew of all time.
All
you
time.
Know that?
All time.
Yeah.
He's so removed from the rules of being
I love
a
how
Jew.
Your guideline for
and
it is what food I've eaten.
Right.
And the rules of being from Boston. He fell
Did
right
Did you even
out.
Get bar mitzvah?
Yeah.
Okay.
My portion was Noah.
Your what name is Noah?
No, you have a portion. Like every week it's a different story, and my story was Noah.
Your story is
Noah. Yeah, he read part of the scroll.
What was Noah? He fell in love with a Mexican chick?
No, he's the one that had the ark.
Yeah, man. Noah put all the animals in 2x2.
It's just, I didn't, I had my mic running.
Sing some of that for us. I know you still remember it.
I don't remember shit.
Don't you bullshit me.
Especially
those
right
Jews
now.
Drill that shit into you for 6 fucking years.
I know, it's terrible. I don't, like what, like the like Noah or just anything?
Oh, just any of it. Come on, sing it. Come on.
Let's see. Come. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, l'cheikhanu v'higanu l'zman hazeh. I think that's like one over bread. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's all. Wow. Yeah.
I need this shit in my life.
Sure, why not? You gotta know.
Why not?
What if you're ever in Israel and you gotta bless some bread?
No shit, man. Hey, and you know what? Fucking number one in Israel right now. Church of what's happening now.
That's
fuck
right.
Yeah.
Some dudes just went crazy if I got it right.
Fucking them up right
man,
now.
Man, I like Israel. I like the way they fucking roll. I do.
Yeah, it's getting scarier. Like,
fuck yeah, it is.
I went over there and it was fine, but now you see, like, I used to be all pro-Israel, but now you got to look at it kind of objectively and realize they're both kind of fucking up.
Everybody's fucking up.
Man, just go to Haifa and everything's
Haifa's
chill.
Haifa's really nice.
Yeah,
Haifa's
everything's
beautiful.
Chill in Haifa, man.
What I was going to say to you was, there's no guidelines, but I always thought people from the East Coast ate a little differently. At least growing up, I did. About 2 years ago, my best friend in Jersey, his son came out here. His sister's son came out here, who I knew since he was a little kid. And we were talking. And when somebody comes out and they're fucking 17, they go to the Navy, I said, do you want to go out to dinner? Where do you want to go? And he's like, I don't care. You could take me to the Subway. And I said, you're from North Bergen? You're from the projects of North Bergen? And you eat Subway? He goes, that's all I eat is Subway or my grandma's spaghetti. I go, so that's all you ate growing up? Joan didn't take you to Piccolissimo. Joan didn't take you to
what's that? Chance Dragon Inn.
And she goes,
you get
no.
one of them fucking tiki no. drinks.
So I didn't know that.
Have you been there, Lee?
Yeah.
So good, man. Them fucking egg rolls.
Those fucking spare ribs are really good.
Oh, man, the spare ribs.
I'm counting the fucking days. But it's so weird. I thought people ate differently.
Fried rice, no pizza.
That's what it was. I just thought I ate differently. But, you know, when I went to New York City 10 years ago and I saw the thing that Red Band likes, Olive Garden.
That's disgusting.
48th Street.
In the middle of Times Square.
Times Square. Ugh. I knew it was over. I knew that there was a lack of everything. Whoever rented that building should be fucking shot and hung two times in the head. But that's the way. I was in Long Island in an elevator, and I saw a kid coming up with Domino's Pizza. And I almost died. One time I was stuck in Long Island overnight, and I just went to the hotel. It was a terrible hotel. And I went to the guy, and I go, can I get a menu? And he gave me a Chinese menu, and I just ordered because I was hungry. Lee, the best fucking food I had in years at this little, because Long Island has two airports. They have that big airport, which is Kennedy.
Yeah, JFK.
And then they have that little one.
Out there. The
Southwest flies into there. A lot of people don't know about that airport.
Yep.
But, bro, that's
long. It's Islip, right?
It's Islip. That's a long flight from fucking, I took that flight on a cheap run on some Howard Stern reunion show in a theater, and Craig Gass was supposed to go on Howard Stern, and Howard Stern hung up on him. So we only sold 80 tickets. And I got a big song and dance at the end of the fucking show. It was horrible.
Oh, about how we didn't sell enough, we can't pay you?
Yeah.
Man, there's always those motherfuckers. Usually it's a black guy. All right. At
least I had the black guy, in Texas. These guys were white.
Oh, my God. There was an asshole named Vance Bradford that still owes me for a gig at Texas A&M, okay, from fucking 94, Jack.
That's the manager. Okay?
Yeah, that's the manager. And he still owes me $500 for that. He's a fucking dick, all right? And you know, I'm rich. I don't even want, $500 is dinner with us, okay?
You remember all those fucking
$3. But I remember the guys that fucking fucked me when I needed it,
Judy
man.
Brown, $25 for an MC spot in Vail, Colorado, no hotel. I had the car from Lakewood Chrysler Plymouth. And on that night, it was so cold, I had to sleep in my car. When I started, the fan belt fucking snapped. And I just left the car there and quit the job. I never called up. I never went and got my last check. There was no use. I just left the car there.
Wow.
I called him and said, the fan belt broke. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not coming back. Why? What happened? This was a sign from God.
Yeah.
I beat the $25. The fucking car blew up. That was not, bro, I had a ton of jobs. I would just take the job to get the car. Oh my God.
Man, tell them about gas stationing, okay, in North Jersey.
No, listen to this.
This is the there best one.
When I went back to Colorado in 93, I lived in Colorado from October 93. I went back to, I lived with my cousin Al Coelho in Arvada for about 3 months. Uh-huh. And basically, all he did was get me advances to go to places to get a job.
Yeah.
So I would walk into your dealership with a suit on and go, I'm going to run your fucking Latino division. First, I went to Douglas Toyota, who had the strongest Latino division. They had Al Coelho and this Mexican dude. They put the Mexican dude on television and said, we'll fucking finance you. We speak Spanish. Fucking Douglas Toyota went from selling 300 cars a month to 450.
Wow.
150 cars a month to the Mexican community. Two salesmen.
Fuck yeah, man.
Selling 150 cars. Two Mexicans. Al Coelho and another Mexican. My cousin and this Mexican. Al Coelho bought a home. He was
smoking blow.
I mean, they were killing. And then the word got out. So Al hired me. And I went over there. I went over there with no money in my pocket. And Al got me, I think, $1,500 up front. A car to take home every night with a license plate with no drama. And I could work my own hours. So if I had a gig, I could leave at 8 o'clock. And I think for 90 days, dog, I made $7,000 to $8,000 a month. But I was there. You got to be there.
Yeah.
And it's a liner closer store. What that means is, how you doing, Ralphie, man? What's happening? Everything beautiful? Yeah, what's cracking? No, I'm looking for a truck. Okay, let me show you this truck. You like it? You want to drive it? Yeah, we come back. Can I get you the numbers? Let's go. What are you? Oh, I came in here with a Range Rover. Come on, let's do the numbers. I sit you down, then I bring the fucking Flying Jew in there. A motherfucker that don't give a fuck about nothing. This guy sold his mother a car for $1,000 over retail. And he comes in and works Ralphie May. And guess what? That's it. I never see Ralphie May again. I sell that car. You get a percentage from the dealership to close the deal. Guess what I do? I'm a fucking whore. I go right back out there and get another customer. And in those days, that lot had so many customers that I would just qualify right there. What's happening, Ralphie May? Nothing. What's cracking? What are you looking for? A truck. Let me ask you something. If we make a deal today, you're going to buy today? Well, I don't know. Listen. Don't hit me with that I don't know shit. Either we're on or we're off. You're going to buy a truck? Because I'll fucking go in there and fight you like a motherfucker. I'll get that truck down to bare bones today. Let me see the $1,000 in your pocket. And they go, let's do it. And I had this motherfucker on. I drive him, come back, push him to a closer. That's line of closer. So you throw 8 motherfuckers to the grave. 6 of them are going to buy. 2 of them are going to be bad credit. So I sold 4 cars for the fucking day. Jesus. It's just numbers. You just got to talk to them. You got to grab people. In those days, you had to hide behind cars and shit and spook people. You think I'm fucking kidding you? You think I'm kidding you, dog? You got to stand by the door and put your hand on the car.
Were you heavy then or no?
No. I was in shape. You had to drive in and put your hand on the door and walk them to a parking spot and greet them and then take them and fucking jam them in the ass. And then when they fucking got pissed off at me, I said, fuck you. And I just started whoring myself, going to different dealerships and going, let me talk to the owner. Listen, how many fucking specs you selling a month? 3. Well, we're going to kick that up to fucking 44. How? This is what we're going to do. You're going to do ads on the radio. I'm going to do them in Spanish. And that's all I did for a year. I'd work there for a month. I'd get an advance like $5,000, pay the attorneys from the child support, all that shit I owed. And I just keep moving the fuck out, Ralphie, man. It was amazing how many people I put together. At the end, I finally put together a used car lot. One of those fucking 60 cars in the lot they finance you. I got one of those jobs. And that job wasn't bad. They let me work my hours until one night the engine blew up on one of their cars.
How did the engine blow up?
Dog, listen. In those days, with my luck, I was watching SWAT the other night. The guy goes to a restaurant. He kills his uncle. He gets in a car. He gets pulled over for a fucking... a busted taillight.
Right.
That's the kind of luck you have when you live in those circles. You understand me? So in those days, anything I touch blew up. Blew up. Didn't I blow up Ann Rainey's car?
I was just wondering if you're going to talk about that. That's the greatest story of all time. Oh, fun. My God.
Fucking dumb.
She was a dumb broad who was all in love with Josh Wolf, all right? And to get closer to Josh, this big-ass girl, she could only get, like, $500 for a piece of shit car. She got a new car, and so she just gave it to Coco.
No, she gave it to Josh.
Oh, she gave it to Josh, and Josh gave it to Coco, okay? So I think over, like a bag of weed, okay? Oh, he got a car, all right? So Coco lost. He was dating the tooth, and he fucking got pissed off at her.
But tell him the whole story. The
car, I'm going to.
The car had air conditioning. It had power windows. It was a little Nissan Cruise, but the brakes were a little low.
Yeah.
But what happened was she gave me the car with only a month and a half on the tags. So I used to sleep in this motherfucker at night.
Yeah.
I would snort coke and go in that car, open the sunroof. I'd put a blanket over me. I'd jerk off into a sock. And I'd roll over and listen to air conditioning. Then I'd wake Ralphie up at 9 and go eat his food.
Yeah.
So once the plates expired,
you always shower.
Or at
you
the
shower
comedy
2 times a day.
Oh, at the
you
comedy
shower 2 or 3 times a day.
At the comedy store, I would shower at 9 when it opened, and then I'd go back about 7:30 before anybody would go down there because I didn't want Jeff to catch me naked in the piano room. That motherfucker give me a shot of piano dick.
That's a D minor.
That is crazy. So they kept giving. Once the tags expired, there were these black chicks with the donut haircut. The donut do, the blonde with a gold tooth. I'll never forget that woman. And what she would do is she would look for that car. I used to watch her.
Yeah.
And she would just pull over and give it a ticket because that's what they do to expire tags. She would just pull over. She recognized the car.
Yeah.
That car had so many fucking tickets, but there was more stories.
Dude, you had red zone tickets.
Oh, it was down handicap to parking tickets.
Okay, it was like $10,000 a
why
ticket.
Why didn't you just park in a better place?
And because then, they still was find no, me. There was still no better
it.
Place.
You park it El Compadre, and they fucking
they still find me.
How much does it take to register a car?
I couldn't register it because she had the title. She never gave Josh the title.
Oh, motherfucker.
Oh, no, you have no idea.
Bro.
I took that car, dog. I drove that car with no brakes. For
none.
About 2 or 3 months.
And
no
always,
brakes, no insurance, no registration.
Wait, so.
No nothing, Lee. You understand me?
Lee, let me tell you, man. Okay, you knew Coco was coming because you heard the squeak
of the fucking,
of the fucking of the brakes.
So it was loud what as shit. When
my dog
Pimp
would go crazy.
It would just go, and smoke would come out of the tires. And I'd go all the way every day to Redondo Beach and back because at that time I was living in Redondo Beach. And I do 60 with that dog. You have no fucking idea. It was I remember being?
How do you do 60 in a car with no brakes?
Listen to me, dog. I remember they used to do a contest in Redondo Beach on Thursday nights, and the king of the contest was Pablo Francisco. And when I would look at the schedule when he was not in town. I'd go down there on Thursdays with fucking enough money to get me down there in that car, Lee.
It was $100.
It was $100, 50 for second place or a pizza for third place.
Yeah, so and the first place got free food.
Yeah.
No,
I just wanted the 100 because I had to come back.
No,
and buy.
You got both.
No, I didn't you even got eat. Both. I didn't even eat.
Oh man, get, we would, always did because we.
And the winner is Joey
you
Diaz.
You ate plenty of time because you
listen,
fucking ate it at my house on Thursday morning.
Listen to me. In those days, when you put $100 bill in my pocket,
yeah,
there was no time for food. I shot to get the blow first, then we ate. Just to make sure the cocaine was there. Cocaine had to get. If I just made $100, trust me, there's no food on my mind. No
now,
matter. I could be a fucking one of those Africans that's skinny with his rib cage with flies all over him, and I'm still getting in my car and going to fucking Poncho's house and getting my grandma blow. Whatever's left over from the grandma blow, we're putting 10 in the gas tank. We're getting 5 for cigarettes. And whatever's fucking, you know, that's the mentality. In those
now,
days.
I, in your defense, I have to say that Coco, when they towed his house, he was living in my place.
They towed the car.
And
they towed
his house. And so I got my car towed so I can go in and get it, okay? And when I went in there, I got all his clothes and everything. And by the way, I checked the glove box, and it was like opening up one of them can of fucking snakes on springs. You know what I'm talking about? All them tickets fell out, motherfucker.
Oh my,
it was
oh
like
God.
An encyclopedia fell the fuck out.
You
I mean, a whole
no
like all. I mean, it was just like it kept on coming. Like it was like you clear a bunch out, and it was still fucking a shit ton in there.
So it was like one a day for like 3 months,
dude. Three or
the
four
whole
a
summer.
Day.
Because the car got towed. The car got towed probably November. And I started with that car in July or in fucking June. And they started ticketing me in mid-July. And then I lived by Sammy Medina. What's his name? Joey Medina. I'm blind.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, you have no fucking idea. I lived all over there where Ralphie first lived.
Yeah.
Ralphie moved out, and then Joey needed a roommate, and I went over fucking there.
You should have, like, bought a new license plate or
off
something.
Off Clinton.
Dog, there was no money for light. Do you not listen? You're getting $15 a spot. You're getting $40 at fucking Felipe's
Mexican
room.
Yeah.
Mexican
Rosemead,
gigs.
Fucking
yeah.
Alhambra, West Covina.
You bought clothes on the road.
Corona.
You bought clothes on the fucking road, Lee. You took a bus. They used to drive me to take a bus to El Paso.
That was the Joe Diaz Express.
To Joe Diaz Express Monday nights to be in El Paso.
Pew.
Tuesday morning at 1 in the afternoon. Do you understand me what
down.
Commitment is? For $550.
Yeah.
For fucking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fucking shows in those days. You pay you $75 a fucking set. If you bought a Southwest flight, that was half your fucking
yeah,
salary.
Yeah, there it goes.
So for you to snort coke and go to Taco Cabana and party, you had to take the fucking bus. So he used to book me for 2 weeks, and I'd still come home fucking broke.
Oy.
Fucking crazy. It's sickening what we did in the name of comedy. And partying. I'm not going to lie to you.
But
the whole time I was serious about it. That's why I could have partied at the store. I was still serious about it. I just had the party element to me. And in those days, El Paso... They were giving
man,
away
there was,
coke.
Yeah, man. There was. I would get offered coke like 6-7 times a night in El Paso, and I never took it. I never wanted to get a taste for it because I was afraid I was going to love it too much. All right, and that kills fat people. You know.
Let me just tell you. Let me just tell you
how. The
how weird the road is. So I'm in El Paso, and it's my birthday.
You dig me?
I'm in El Paso, and it's my birthday, and it's a Monday. We just did the week, and I'm staying for another week. And I got a call on Saturday night from Ralphie May and Jody Furtick. This is 1998.
Mm-hmm.
I get a call from Ralphie May and Jody Furtick that they're coming down. They're going back to L.A., but they're coming down to hang out on Sunday with me for my birthday. So it was me and Noe Gonzalez opening up for Carlos Mencia. Mm-hmm. And that was like a good money week for me because you stayed on Sunday and you did three shows on Saturday and opened up for Carlos. This is 98. What's his name really like me? The owner.
Bart Reed.
Bart Reed. So he would try to put me with the bigger names. And he kept telling me, I'm going to have you open up for Carlos. I'm like, Carlos is not going to go for it. He don't like me. Well, this one time, Carlos said, yeah, but I had to work with Noe. And I love Noe from the store.
I love Noe.
So it was perfect.
I haven't seen Noe in forever, bro.
So it was my birthday on a Sunday. It was Ralphie's on Friday.
Yeah.
And we were going. They were going to come down Sunday night. Oh, yeah. And Jody got into a fight with Carlos in
yes,
the condo.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh,
see?
Man.
Bro,
she
I got a memory
me
like a fucking
shit,
hawk.
Bro. She called him out on her shit. I'll give it
they
to
They were
her.
Playing Nintendo in our yeah. room.
Yeah.
Why is Carlos, who's got a 5-star hotel across town in our fucking comedy condo, playing fucking Nintendo with Noe?
Yeah, nobody's smoking.
And Jody's
drugs,
drinking.
Nobody's doing nothing.
You're on the floor.
Fuck yeah.
I'm in the room. I'm on the couch. I gave the bed to Jody. There was two bedrooms. And this is the old comedy condo?
Yeah.
Not
it
the
sure
not the
was.
One with, yes, the one by the supermarket.
Yes, sir.
And her and Carlos got into it. But the next morning
that
we woke up.
That was the fucking greatest.
The next morning we woke up, we didn't have much money. I think we went to Arby's.
No, we went to a Mexican place and they make these fucking fried tacos that they do in El Paso.
Okay, I thought we went to Arby's
fuck
that
no,
time. Because I met you guys by Arby's.
Yeah.
I walked down the hill and met you by Arby's.
Yeah, because we couldn't find the place.
Right, you brought your car and Jody brought her car.
Yep.
You guys were coming back to move here or something mm-hmm. like that. Okay. So we go, what are we going to do? Well, let's go to the fucking movies. And Payback was in the movie theater.
Man, and Lucy Liu had us all boned up. We were all horny looking at Lucy Liu karate chopping niggas. It was awesome.
So it's the 1 o'clock.
I love that shit.
This is 1998. It's 2015,
damn,
guys.
Fun.
Just to show you guys the comedy journey of broke comics. We're all in the movie theater. And there's got to be maybe 16 people in the movie theater. It's a 1 o'clock matinee on a Monday.
Yeah.
And whatever the fuck we ate, I rip a fart, Lee.
Oh.
Lee, and it went. And then it just paused, and it went. Prop! And Lee, everybody looked at Ralphie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody looked
and
at Ralphie.
And by the way, okay, it was like shooting, explosions.
And it stopped.
Boom. Dead fucking silence. It was the greatest fart timing of all time.
Oh, my God, Lee.
Okay? Everybody's looking at me, okay? And then Coco goes, God damn it, Ralphie May. Jesus Christ.
Jesus
the
fucking Christ.
Christ, Ralphie May. He was yelling it. And everybody's looking at me.
And he's going, I didn't fart.
I didn't
and
fart.
We're fucking howling. I'm howling inside because where's Tony Bennett, that guy? Like,
so funny.
And then we went to the movies in Universal City when I threw the M&M up in
hit that ball guy in the head. We threw peanut M&M's at this motherfucker because his head looked like a peanut M&M all oblong. All right? And we just see the movie and every now and then you see just a big ass M&M fly the fuck up in the air.
Bounced
off the light. All right, and he was like looking back, like who done it? Oh my god! And we were leaving there, and his head had candy. Okay, had candy like different colors, and he was bitching to the manager, "Help somebody! This is this scoundrel, these teenagers throwing fucking M&M's at me."
Here's the whole story, guys. We're walking out. We forgot all about that. We threw a peanut. This motherfucker. All I know is Lee, the peanut bounced off his head like 3 feet, and he looked up.
How many
times have you smoked an M&M's at him?
Oh, like 15. Oh, man. Right?
It was a whole package.
Until it whacked
them,
right?
They would give two M&M's. It was a promotion. Oh. So it was two of those bags of M&M's.
Oh, my God.
And even though we were high, we're fat fucks, and we're like, we don't need a fucking whole nother bag of M&M's.
Because I just want to throw
them. And Coco goes, yeah, give me those fucking M&M's.
And I'm whipping them at this guy.
Whipping them during the shit parts of the movie.
How old are you at this point?
This is 10 years ago.
This is 10 years ago. I'm 33.
Yeah, I'm 40. I'm 39. Who gives a fuck, right? I'm just high, having a great time, man. But here's the whole thing. We hit him with the thing.
Does his head look like an M&M? Like, that
he's looking around now, though.
He had the weirdest fucking looking head.
Oh, my
man.
God. Oh, we had to beat him because the light was bump shining off his head.
Yeah, he was a
so now we hit him,
dunk.
And that's it. We move on with our lives. We're watching a movie.
Yeah.
We're hired as fuck. 2 hours later, we're walking out of this movie theater like nothing happened. We forgot all about the peanut incident. And the guy's got the peanut in his hand. And he's giving the ear beat
to the manager.
An ear beat. How these guys hit me with, and we're fucking howling. I'm howling. I'm fucking howling right there in the guy's face. He had to know it was us. I hit him with a fucking peanut. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. We were fucking crying. Crying.
That's
so funny.
Lee, what the fuck? Didn't you ever hit nobody with a peanut?
Yeah, but not.
No, you
didn't. I mean, it's hysterical, but I can't imagine you two just like whipping peanut M&M's at this
dude. Yeah, man. We hit him good, too. He was like, and we were having a contest. Like, how far could we bounce the fucking M&M
off his head? And it would hit him and bounce off his head straight up like 3 or 4 feet. That's what fucking kills you, lady.
Man, and you can see the peanut flying in the light from the fucking theater. It was beautiful, Lee. It was so funny.
Let me ask you something.
Hey, man, okay, yeah. I got to tell you. How about the time that annoying fucking asshole was at the Comedy Store telling us he was a Fox TV guy, all right, and he's a producer, okay, all right, and we just got fucking sick of this asshole, always critiquing us, never calling us in for this, and you're like, Ralphie, look at this, all right, and you put like 1,000 fucking snots on this asshole's jacket, 1,000 snots, okay, all right, and I'm laughing, going, I bet those snots are worth $85 if we grind them up.
Lee, for years, I would put snots on people. It started with this teacher in high school, Mr. Zink. And I hung out with his daughter, Susie Zink. She was fucking a great friend of mine. We were
good old Susie Zink.
But this guy had a suit, and I would tap him on the shoulder. I would pick a snot and tap him on the shoulder and go, Mr. Zink, what's happening? And you would see the snots. He'd wear the same jacket every day. So that's the first guy I'm bothered with snots. And then when I was in Colorado, the funniest thing, one of the funniest things I ever seen, I always wanted this guy to call into the podcast. This is a guy that I didn't do comedy, but he became my friend along the way. He was a brother of a friend of mine in Colorado. And one morning, I did a Quaalude. It was the night before Thanksgiving.
Man, what were those like, Coco?
Oh, my God. It was the night before Thanksgiving. This is what happened. I had moved to Aspen in April of 83. And by fucking September, I was lonely, guys. You know, I'm a fucking 19-year-old kid,
yeah,
in fucking Colorado. I just came from New York robbing shit. I just robbed a jewelry store. I was building a reputation and shit.
By the way, was that when George was the getaway driver, but he didn't know?
No. That was when Timmy, and he listens to this. No, Timmy knew. George was the getaway driver for the gas station.
Yeah, and he didn't even know he was. He was all hair-ironed out. I love it.
What were we talking about?
I'm sorry, Aspen, Colorado.
No, we were talking.
You were homesick.
I was really fucking homesick. And there was a guy that had a little hotel across the street from, at this place, it was called the In-N-Out Sandwich Shop. And that's the first place, Ralphie May, I ever tasted like turkey with avocado and French dressing, mm-hmm, like the red one, Russian dressing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, all healthy. In fact, the guy comes to my shows in Buffalo. We reconnected in 1983. But across the street was a chateau, and in front of it was a hitching post that you could sit there in Aspen, Colorado, downtown, and people would pull over if you were going down valley. This meant down valley. This meant the short way. This could be like Snowmass Village. And they pull over and go, where are you going? Woody Creek. I'm going to Snowmass Village. Hop in. You could take the bus down to Woody Creek. That's 83. So I went up there, and I became friends. And the guy that owned the hotel, he was from Jersey. But he was friends at the time with a Philadelphia Eagle that lived next door to me. Like, what a small world. I moved from fucking Jersey to Basalt. And the guy next to me is like an Eagle from 68.
Wow.
And he was still big. He looked like Christopher. I don't remember what his fucking name was. And him and his wife were good friends with my buddies from Jersey, so I became friends with them. So all of a sudden, I'm in Aspen one day in front of the hitching post, and I become friends with the guy that owns the hotel. And one day, I'm in front of the hotel, and the fucking football player pulls up and gives me a ride, and we all start talking. He goes, you know Joey? Yeah, I know. So next time I see this guy, he goes, come into my house. And we start talking. He goes, taste this blow. So he gives me some fucking blow, and now we become friends. Every time I go in there, I go in, get a package from him. Then one day he kept telling me, I got heroin. He had all those designer pills in the 80s. I mean, this guy was the guy. He had a hotel. And one night he goes, you know, I got Quaaludes. I was like, what do you want from him? At the time, I was paying four. In Aspen, there were 10. And there were six for 50. So I said, give me fucking six of them. What a mistake that was. And I went to my own apartment. They were having a party where I lived. My roommate was having a party where I fucking lived. And I went over there. There was a keg. There was vodka. And I popped one of those Gorilla Biscuits. And next thing you know, Doug, I woke up the next morning. I kept hearing an accent.
Uh-huh.
A North Carolina accent. And some kid, man, I'm telling you, Ohio State ain't shit. The Tar Heels is the only way to go. You all a bunch of motherfucking pussies. And I get up to see who's yelling in my living room. It's this kid from North Carolina. A white dude, tall, just a redneck, Opie Taylor looking, freckles and shit. Mm-hmm. And I started to sit down with him and argue with him a little bit. And we always became fucking goombas. I don't know what the point of the story is, what I'm telling you about Carl Hall.
I want to hear about Quaaludes, man.
I wanted him to call in.
Oh, yeah, what happened with about five, six Quaaludes?
I ate one of those fucking Gorilla Biscuits.
Did you wake up in, like, North Carolina?
No, I woke up in Aspen. It's Nomad's Village in my living room.
Oh, okay.
Man, was it good? Was it a good ride, those things?
He doesn't know.
I mean, would
no, you... No, fuck yeah, I know. Oh, my God. Quaaludes were huge in the cocaine when cocaine merged with Studio 54.
Right, it was the Quaalude, line and the lewd, right?
It was the Quaalude, the Tumanol, and something else. There was something else in those days. But the Quaalude was the Aurora and the Lemon, but they were both 714s. I still remember a distinct memory of being on the corner of 43rd Street in front of my friend Didi Quintero's house, and this guy, Richie Scrivani, pulling up and looking at me and going, what are you doing? I'm like, none. I was 16. And he goes, you want to go Ludi? And that meant, do you want to do a Lude? And me and Didi got in the car with him, fucking ate a Lude. It was tremendous. In those days, you ate a Lude and drank one cocktail. And you got fucked up. Like, you didn't puke. You just lost your body, Gumby. You loved everybody. You loved everybody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody was your goomba. They hugged you. Drinks.
You ever get Cosby?
No. And then you took them with the blow.
Oh, okay.
To calm you down. The mindset was that they calm you down. But the more blow you did, the more those Gorilla Biscuits you ate. I told a joke on stage at the comedy store. It didn't work, but it really did happen to a friend of mine. He left the house with 100 Quaaludes and a bicycle, and he came back with a handlebar and stitches and not a dime. Because once you built a tolerance to him, it was a tolerance like anything else. Lee built a tolerance of THC. 200 milligrams isn't really killing him tonight. Right now, he's usually dead, but eventually you build a tolerance.
Plus all the weed we smoked, but it's...
You build a tolerance.
And the hash, because it's Hash Monday.
But it also had, you had two effects in those days, and this is the truth. I personally never knew anybody who dosed a chick like Cosby was doing. I could give you my word.
That's crazy.
But I had a girlfriend that I'd take them with her.
Yeah.
I'd take a half, and we'd drink Harvey's Bristol Cream and do a couple lines, and the sex would be out of this world, I guess. You know, yeah. I guess I've always been bad in bed, so who the fuck knows?
But unless I misheard the story, didn't the Cosby girl say like they passed out? So it doesn't sound like Quaaludes, unless he gave him like a ton.
Listen, if I give a 140-pound girl a fucking Quaalude, the ones I was getting in those days.
Yeah.
Listen, I was getting Quaaludes on the street, but then when I became 18, I was getting some Quaaludes up on 68th Street from this chick. That was a punk rock chick. Everybody else had brown hair, and this bitch had purple hair, and she was chubby. And let me just break it down to you this way, guys. Her brother You can look him up on Wikipedia. He's the real motherfucking deal. And he was older than I was, but he was a tremendous basketball player. And when we were kids, we used to talk on the phone. I had no idea about his family's affiliation. But here it is, plain and simple. The Quaaludes I got from her were the best things I ever ate in my life. And the word on the street, listen, everybody lies about drugs. It's like the doctors, okay? Ralphie, how's your knee? Fine, Coco. I didn't know if I'd tell you. I got the best surgeon. Everybody got the best surgeon. This guy worked on Charles Bronson. This guy does the front line. So, you know, this guy operated Jesus when he came back. You know, everybody's got the best fucking surgeon. Everybody's got the best dentist. I asked Jim Kellum, the wig. Jim, you know any dentist? He sent me to a dentist that it cost you $300 just to walk into the office in Beverly Hills because he does the chicken mind.
I've got my dentist is in Nashville, and he's helped a bunch of comedians and brothers of mine go in there and get their dental work. And he is fucking the best. He's a black dentist. We call him the unicorn because I ain't never fucking met a black dentist before him. But he's a bad motherfucker. Every chick in there is a fucking dime. All right. His wife looks like Michelle Obama. All right. I mean, she fine too. All right. He drives old hot rods. He's a bad motherfucker. All right.
What's that got to do with Quaaludes, Cox?
Hey, I'll hook you up. You said about dentists. No, I actually got a guy. This when you go to Tennessee, but no, what please.
My point is, everybody always says.
He won't go to Hollywood for a dentist. You need to go to Tennessee for a
everybody,
dentist.
I'm scared. I go down the corner from my house, the little Iranian guy.
Oh, good
the
for
Arabian
you.
Guy. That motherfucker beats insurance every time. This guy comes to me and he goes, I could get you this. Next, you know, I see him next time. He goes, listen, I got your fucking rebate. Don't worry about the fucking $200. That's what they do. They work the system the way you're supposed to.
Yeah.
But. So this girl for years kept telling me these things are pharmaceutical. I would go to her, I would meet her like at 7 o'clock on Friday and get her. And everybody else wanted 4 in the mid-80s. In 81 and 82, this bitch wanted 6. But, I mean, they came in a wrapper jack, like sealed. And she'd tell you they were pharmaceuticals. And those things, if you look in my eyes, I have veins that busted. They're from those things. Wow. I know for a fact. I remember that the first time I ate one of her pills, I still remember uniquely that night. I stayed on 46th Street Hill, and it was the dead of the winter. And in those days, we barely had, you know, we'd buy a nickel bag of weed, we'd buy a bottle of Poopov vodka or Wolfschmidt silver.
Oh, ain't nothing wrong with okay. Poopov. I've fucked up on that.
We'd get a mixer, Gatorade or orange juice. And in those days, we didn't have enough for blow. So the kid I hung out with, his brother was a slinger. So we'd stay at his house. Our goal was to stay up till 2:30, because when callers would come home, he'd give us each a little line. We were 15. Dee Dee was maybe 13.
Wow.
And callers would give us a little line and go, get the fuck out of my room. I got a girl coming over. And that was it. We'd do a Quaalude. But one Friday in particular, me and this kid ate one of those pills and went back to his house, and we put on Led Zeppelin 3, particularly Gallows Pole. We listened to Gallows Pole 1,000 fucking times. Put on Gallows Pole, Lee.
Such a strong song.
Gallows Pole?
Led Zeppelin 3. We put that song on, Ralphie, 1,000 times, and we sat in his brother's room with the lights dim, and we just drank, smoked dope, and listened to this fucking song over and over and over. I remember the brother coming, giving me a line of coke. In those days, my mother had just died. I was living with the Benders. And I'd walk over to the Benders fucking jazzed up at 4 in the morning. What are they going to say to me? They weren't my parents. I was just living there. All night, I listened to this song. Quaaluded up. The next morning, I woke up, I had fucking... My eyes were bloodshot, and there's veins that stayed purple. Like, they just stay like that. And that was the end of... That's the story of the fucking vein in my eye, Doug Clinton. What did you bring me, my dear friends? Keep me from the gallows pole. Shit. At this time tomorrow morning, in 12 hours, I'll be fainting.
Oh, really?
I got a physical and a finger up the ass tomorrow, the chest x-ray... Whoa. And everything. I got to clean my ears.
What's going to make you faint? The finger?
The blood. Oh. But I'm charging the iPod right now. The last couple times, let me see. For the heart thing, I went into complications. I always go into whatever, I have complications. They stuck the, when they stuck this in for the fucking thing with my heart, the ink, I got a little, they didn't know what was going on. Then I just breathed through my nose and I'm fine. When I did it for the camera in my asshole, when they put the intravenous in, that time they had to turn the air conditioning on. I was sweating fucking profusely in there. Tomorrow, if they put me in a room with no windows, I have a hard time. But if they put me in the room with window, if I could see light, what I do is I go in there first and I set up the fucking cot how I like it. Wait, I like the pillow. I swear to God, I run that fucking Bob Hope Medical Center. Dr. Waxler's my fucking main man. So he's not even in the room yet. When he comes, he goes, what do you want to do first? They throw a sheet on you. You got to take your underwear off tomorrow. It's a fucking nightmare tomorrow, Lee. And he'll look at my ears. He'll look at my nose. I got to trim my nose hairs today. He'll look under my armpits. He'll feel me for fucking lumps, whatever the fuck he does. He'll make me show him my dick. And he'll fucking grab my balls and make me cough. And then he's talking to me. And he'll go, let me check your lungs with the breathe for me. And while he's breathing, he'll go, all right, bend over. And while he's making me breathe, he'll go, take a deep breath. And all of a sudden, I'll feel a cold finger with lube going into my ass. And you could hear him fishing in there, like looking for a watch. And all of a sudden, he's like, you okay? And after that, there's not much you could say.
Yeah, right.
Are you okay? It's going to be a fucking minute. Am I okay? You just fucking destroyed my hopes at 9:15 in the fucking morning. Now I got to go down the hill and let this bitch take blood out of me, which is now even more mortifying. Now I got to breathe and sit down. But who's going to sit down? I just had a finger up my ass. I can't fucking sit down. It's so embarrassing. So now they take me into another fucking room after that. So I did two tests, right? So now they take blood out. So now what I do is I go in there first. They usually want to put me in the dungeon next to chest x-rays. But there's no windows in there. And it's one of those school fucking chairs. Last time I did that was in prison. I didn't like it. I go in the back, and there's a fucking cot, and I fucking fix it the right way. There's a little bit light and shit. There's a sink in there. It's an examination room, but it's right adjacent to them. And I get on that motherfucker correctly, and I put my iPod on, dog, and I don't hear nothing. And I leave my arm out, and I just look the other way. And I just leave it there, and then she comes in, and I'll tell her, listen, use the kid needle on me and spray the liquor cocaine on my arm. And she'll say, no problem. And then she'll come over, and she'll go, you're going to be fine. And I'll just start breathing out of my nose, and I'll put Santana, Oye Como Va, and I just keep.
That's a jam, man.
That's it. That's it. And she'll lift up my arm. And, dog, if she does the tape, and I'm okay. I got to get up slow. I'll stop and get a can of Diet Coke to give me a little pep to my step after that, because the Coke is too sweet. That'll fucking give me diabetes right off the chart. And then I walk down the hall, and they do a chest x-ray. And once I'm done, I put my clothes on, and I get the fuck out of there. And then I go around the corner to Mimi's, and I get two eggs, and I get some toast because I deserve that nourishment. I haven't eaten. I can't eat after midnight today.
So what are you going to have when you get home?
A protein shake with no sugar in it because I don't want to raise my sugar levels. But I can't even put a fucking banana in there or fruit.
But why don't you? You'll be home before midnight.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I could eat before midnight, but I don't want to put like anything in my. Like if I eat a milkshake tonight, my sugar level's going to be high. Then he's going to make me come in there in 2 weeks because he thinks I got fucking diabetes. And I got to go in there and do the whole fucking test over because I want to go hang out with you at North Hollywood Diner and have a vanilla milkshake, cocksucker, which I would kill for right now. But my point is, I just don't want to do one time, dog.
That sounds strong.
I didn't fucking think about it.
I haven't had a fucking milkshake. I'm a bad fat guy.
I went in my trunk to get something right before I went to the doctor. I go, hold on 1 second. I went in my trunk. This is about a year ago. You know how much I hate needles. I went in my fucking trunk. My wife comes down there with me. I get out of Bob Hope. And she goes, did you find that thing? I go, hold on, I left it in the trunk. And I open the trunk and I go, oh my God, that pot cookie's in here. And you know me.
No, please don't.
Lee, you know how much of a fucking Momo I am. Without even thinking.
I can't
thinking,
have a milkshake, but I'll.
Listen to me, Lee. This is at 8 in the fucking morning.
Your blood will
without be realizing it, I take the cookie, open it up, and take a bite out of the fucking pot cookie. And I go inside and I sit down and I go, that fucking cookie is going to raise my blood, my sugar level in my blood. And sure enough, Joey Diaz, Jose, I go to the fucking thing. They take my blood 2 days later. Who's on the fucking phone? Dr. Waxler. Listen, you got diabetes. No, I don't. I ate a fucking pot cookie before I went in and raised my fucking sugar level. He goes, well, you got to better come down here and prove it to me. I had to go back down there again, give him blood again. And then he was like, you're right. don't eat a fucking cookie before you come see me.
Yeah, man.
So that's why I'm just going to have a milkshake. They got no sugar in this protein shake.
Yeah.
I got no carbs. I won't put fruit in it. And I'll just go to bed. My hope is that I sleep till 6 or 7. That's my big fucking dilemma here tonight. I got to sleep till 7 so I don't think about it. If I get up at 5, I'm fucked because I got to eat.
What's going through your head like when the taking blood and you pass out? Like, what's going... Like, what do you get? What part of you makes you nervous?
Lee, can I just kind of answer that? Because
I hate needles too.
I don't know what's going through his head, but when we were at UFC and I had to hold him the fuck up, okay? I know what the fuck was going through my head. Coco, come back, all right? And then he was all right, but he got lightheaded.
Oh my God. They wiped the kid's face.
Oh.
And the towel. I looked at the towel.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I focused on the towel and it had blood on it. Like maybe 2 months, maybe 4 months before that, I was at home watching the UFC and BJ Penn fought Joe, whatever, and they were fighting. He busted his head. And that's the most blood I ever saw in my life. And I passed out on my couch. And then I go to a UFC and I focus on the towel and I fucking lost it, Lee. Thank God Ralphie was there and there was a chick next to me with huge fake tits. She was a doctor.
Oh my gosh, she was amazing.
And that's what fucking happened, brother.
So no, but like you said, if you wake up early tomorrow, you're gonna like it's gonna worry you. Like what freaks you out?
Just first off, when I don't eat after an hour in the morning, I might go somewhere else. I need something. A bowl of fucking cereal. You know, I'm not gonna eat something shitty, but I'll eat like an apple, something, some water and an apple. Just to wake up and not be able to eat for 2 hours, then go down there and do what I hate the most, give blood and the finger up the ass, a double dilemma. And once they put the finger up your ass, it just jams up your electrodes. Trust me. Wait till you turn 50. You're going to think about what I told you. For people at home, they don't know what I'm saying. They're like, Joey, what are you talking about? It, like, jams you up for a minute, especially if that's not your world. If that's not your world, the first time that I was going to a testosterone doctor. And he goes, listen, I got bad news. My partner wants to see you. I go, all right. I didn't even fucking, I take a shit that morning. I wipe my ass. But, you know, sometimes you take a shit and leave some in your little muffler. And I go to this doctor.
It happens.
He's like, come in the back. I got to check you out. And I go, you're not drawing blood. He goes, no, I got to check you out. He goes, turn around. And I remember him putting us two, and I could hear like the leftover that was in there. I didn't even want to look at the glove. They take it out. This guy ripped me apart. He had his finger deep in there, and he was looking for shit. And I was like,
did he find it?
I don't know, Lee. I almost passed out.
I've had that twice.
Oh, my man. God.
I've had that twice. And
that's not my world, people. So please, don't think I'm
You never had a girl do that to you?
No, guy. What the hell's wrong with you? I'm a Catholic.
We all find your line now. That's your line?
It's not a girl. It's just something. It just feels weird. It just feels fucking... It's the weirdest feeling I ever had. Like, it made me feel weird. And I'm prepared for it tomorrow. Listen, I get in my fucking car, get on the 101, I come home, and I move on. I just want to be able to do shit the rest of the day tomorrow. I don't like fainting in the morning. It kind of ruins my fucking day, you know?
I can see that, yeah.
So let me ask you something, dog. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a special pops out on Netflix that you taped in Vegas. When did you tape this with a fucking hat on like a magician?
I taped it as part of a deal with a production company, and I recorded it at the
South Point
Casino and Spa. It's a fantastic place. Go there. And I put it out, and Netflix, they saw me in – I had it for free. I had it all done. It was part of a deal. I'd host one of their shows, and they would give me this. And I was like, sure, no problem. And we had it fully done. And then Netflix goes, hey, they saw me at the Wild West Comedy Fest in Nashville. And they gave me a big deal. And they go, for two specials. And I go, I'll deliver both in November. And they're like, and it was like a month and a half later. And they're going, no way. And I go, I guarantee fucking it. And I gave them two. By the 15th of December, And they put the Unruly out first, and then they did a soft on Imperfectly Yours because they thought it was a smaller venue, but they liked the material. So, you know, I'm just very fortunate. Netflix is sponsoring my fall tour. I've got 80 theaters I'm doing across North America, and I'm coming to a place near you.
When do you start the tour?
Coco, we start in... It's warming up now with a couple of club dates. Like, I'm getting the new show down, okay, is what I'm working on right now. In San Jose this week, it's kind of a mini theater, and so it'll start giving me the feel. Like, and then Utah, I'm there, I'm warming up because I want a fucking a tough audience, and there's a lot of Mormons, and Jack Mormons come out, and I'm controversial, and they don't like that shit, all right? And then I want to work on my Mexican stuff in Phoenix, and then they all start all over the country. I think I've got Mondays off. And then there's like a week in October I'll be back.
You'll be back here.
Yeah, man.
Look at you. Yeah. Tip top fucking Magoo out there letting these motherfuckers know.
Yeah, man. I gotta finance my fucking car. I'm buying a I bought the car, but I'm redoing a 67 GTO convertible. All right. And it's gonna be a rocket ship, Coco. But that costs a lot of fucking money. You know what I mean? So it's like, I got to get my ass out there and tell some goddamn jokes. I got to do something, man.
You're still out there, Ralphie. It's hard to believe we were those same kids at that movie theater farting. And
oh, so funny.
Giggling. It really is, Lee. It's a fucking weird thing.
Well, it's we always had heart. It's
a thing, man.
I mean, how, like, we said it 1,000 times before, but it must be crazy. Like, when you have friends like you and Moz and all you guys, and you're maybe one out of 20, I guess, all of you. I mean, how could you not have fond memories?
You know, Mike Faberman called me today. How long have I known? You know how many fucking laughs we had in this backyard?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. How many fucking, you know.
That these, magic shoebox.
And these comics are still here.
Yeah.
And some of them have disappeared, and you go on Facebook and right. You find them, or they pop up on somebody's page, and you go, well, there you are.
Yeah.
And then back in Toledo, wherever the fuck they are. But
right.
This is a weird fucking journey, man. It really, who the fuck knows? You just get into something and it takes you to a different place. Who would have fucking known?
I know, man. If I hadn't had Lana, I wouldn't have got Last Comic. And then I'd be like everybody else, barely getting by. That's all the difference is. That's the truth. You know, I mean, it's that's why there's no prenup with me and the Jew, okay? There's nothing, okay? It's 50-50 all the way, you know? There's no getting out of it. There's no getting around it, you know? She fucking earned it. Actually, she'd probably get 60-40 to me, okay? Without her, I would never have been able to do it.
At least you know that going in.
That's true. That's true. But when you're that honest with things and you give an honest appraisal to where your career is, it just baffles you that she's not further along. She's great.
You know more than anybody, I'm here because of my wife.
Yeah, right.
We were talking about the other day, giggling. I'm here because of my wife. The one TV, I won't throw away that TV. The first TV I bought with it, a $200 TV up in, after one of those gigs for $500 up at Oxnard or some shit. We stopped at a Walmart. The TV didn't even fit in the fucking back seat, the neon. It's crazy. I won't get rid of it. I refuse to get rid of it. She's like, you gotta get rid of it. I ain't getting rid of that thing. That thing still fucking plays. That thing was the backbone of the organization. You know how many fucking, you know how many episodes of Law and Order that thing played for us? while we're eating a fucking turkey sandwich with American cheese or something. Do you have any fucking idea? You just can't give something up like that. That's symbolism to me. I remembered all those things, man. I never forgot them. I don't know why. And I bet I did forget a lot of those road memories. But, man, did I luck out on the fucking road just putting pieces together as a feature act, going up to Boston and working for fucking all those clubs, 50 Knicks. Bucks, Knicks, and the Grill 57. I was taking buses everywhere. I would go online and catch
Kowloons.
Kowloons.
Fuck yeah, man.
Oh, my God. I was going up to the... Rhode Island, Toronto in those days, all on a bus, Lee, all the way down to fucking D.C.
Joe Diaz Express.
I go to Tyson's Corner, Bethesda, Then I'd shoot down to Myrtle Beach, and then I'd know Atlanta in those days. The Punchline hated me, so yeah. I'd shoot down to fucking the other club hated me in Jacksonville. The Hilton, whatever, with yeah. the all you could eat seafood.
No, the Ramada Inn, dude. It's the Ramada Inn.
What is
and
it?
And it's the Comedy Zone. And it's run by Mr. Fred. All right. And every time I go in there, they have a great fucking buffet on Friday.
On Friday. Is it Friday night?
It's fucking tremendous.
Clams, oysters,
all right,
everything.
And I remember he came in, all right, and said that we had to pay for that. And it's like, and I've had fucking 8 sold out shows in 2 days. Okay. And I'm like, hey, go fuck yourself. We're going to murder this goddamn place. And when they brought me the tab, I just said, give this to Fred. That was it. And I cracked him right there on
Fred
the spot.
Fred still has it?
Still has it. Still rocking. I think it's one of the nicest fucking hotels in Ramada's chain. They're fucking great.
It's the Mandarin.
Yeah, the Mandarin Inn.
The Mandarin Inn, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, the and Mandarin it is. Inn. It is fucking tremendous.
And they had a place around the corner. After you did the Mandarin Inn, there was a bar where you went and did karaoke.
Yeah.
And got blow and got fucked up Stanhope. Stanhope was the king of that fucking bar.
King of that bar, man.
King of that fucking
they
bar.
They still have his picture up with the long hair when he was a fucking baby, when he had hope for life, all right? When he had a lust for life and wanted to do something, aspired to greater things.
And then I would do one or two coconuts to keep me alive, to give me change. To get me all the way to Miami, I did.
Oh,
I did Davy.
Coconuts were garbage.
Oh my God, I did Davy one
Wavy
time.
Wavy and Davy was the name of the club.
No.
It was fucking Wavy and Davy. I did it three times.
No. And Davy was the club your boy owned.
Dorfman.
And he had the fat chick booking it, and I worked. I co-headlined. He had two of them. He had West Palm.
Yeah.
And he had that one. And I co-headlined
the Comedy Corner
in 1998, I co-headlined it with Jim Florentine out of Weehawken, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And the Comedy Condo didn't have a fucking bathroom, a door on the bathroom. It was the worst Comedy Condo. And I had to stay with, like, cousins. And they were living like animals, like 22 to a bedroom, snorting blow. It was tremendous. And then I finally got into the Miami Improv.
Yeah.
And then that was...
Joe Chadwick.
He's in Cleveland somewhere selling shoes. His wife finally died. They got like...
Oh, man.
They got like $3 million. They got that thing, Fen-Fen.
Mm-hmm.
They sued Fen-Fen and got like $3 million and went through it in 2 weeks. And then she died. And it's weird. Man. This comedy stuff is weird when you get into like... The people that are still around and who's moved on.
Right. Like, whatever happened to Mark Babbitt?
He's hoteling it.
He's hoteling
it? Let me give some shout-outs and we'll do the sponsors.
All right, man. Loving you.
All right, my main man, Major Slander, Sean Taff, Danielle Gant, Omar Habubi. I'm not going to get to the book yet. Don Wrangler, Joey V, DeStefano, Mark Cicero, Callie George, Sarcastic Best, and Moonspore 85, I love you cocksuckers, all right? What's up with you, dog? What are you sitting there all hypnotized for, like Biggie? 95, were you?
Did you know he shot some dude with AIDS blood?
Who?
What?
Fucking, not Biggie. Fucking, what's his name? Who's the guy that got run over? My whatever shirt. What, the movie? Cat Williams' manager. What's his name? Suge Knight. That he shot some dude with a AIDS blood.
Where'd you hear this?
Paul was talking about the movie. It's like that rapper or something.
Eazy-E?
Yeah. Like one of the conspiracy theories is that Suge Knight did it. I don't know. You know, one ever heard about it?
I just heard that for the first time.
Yeah, you're blowing my mind.
You didn't go see Straight Outta Compton?
Not yet.
It's good reviews.
I think we're going to go tomorrow.
What time are you going?
I have no idea.
You taking Paul?
Yeah.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah, probably after kettlebells.
Look at you. You're a fucking
Latin
lover and shit.
Yeah.
What have you heard so far?
It's good. People say it's good.
Did she see it, Paula?
No, not yet. But I'll see it. I saw Dope. That was good. Have you seen that yet?
No, what's
that
Dope?
It was really good.
What is it about?
It was about this, like, nerdy black kid in Inglewood. And I'm really high, so I don't remember the rest of it. But it was good. It was kind of around the same... Like, he was, like, nerdy. I don't know what he was doing. Oh, yeah. He got a bag from a drug dealer, and they wanted to get him.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
That's really...
This is what happens.
Why you gotta bother me with this shit for?
Why are you gonna ask me questions? We're having a good conversation.
I asked you about straight out of Compton, not fucking...
I haven't seen
dope.
It. You know I haven't.
All you gotta say is I haven't seen it. But then you're like, I don't know about Straight Out of Compton, but I know about the movie Dope. I saw that. It's about a kid who bought a bag of dope and moved on. Where the fuck? Everybody buys a bag of dope, Lee. That's all you got for me. You watch the whole fucking movie to tell me that's all you're high as fuck.
You're so fucking crazy.
I'm crazy. All I asked you, see Straight Out of Compton. Did your wife see it?
No, not yet.
So how does she know about the blood scene?
Oh, no, no, no. She was just reading stuff about that. It's not in the movie.
So what is she fucking reading for?
I don't know. People like to read stories.
So she read before she went to the movies?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you got to talk to her. You got to sit it down.
Soon. It's not about the movie.
It is about them. Who gives a fuck? You go to. She's doing research on the fucking thing. She's an attorney. She hasn't read enough? You haven't read enough? You're going to read for fucking the next 20 years. You want to read what some fucking movie's about. They made the movie. You want to read the book because you want to go to Starbucks and tell your friends. Who gives a fuck? Go see the movie and take a shortcut. Like the rest of America. Want to smoke some more hash?
Sure, why not?
This fucking hash is tremendous tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that.
Where did you get that from, Coco? That shit is
the one-eyed Jew, dog. We're going to put it on. I'm telling you. We need a glass. We got that cup.
It's dirty as fuck. They drink wine.
Jesus Christ. We need a fucking cup or a glass. I forgot to bring one. I was going to put on this needle and we'll hit that motherfucker and then push the glass and take the smoke pure.
I wish we had some reefer. We'd put it on top of some reefer and make a Cuban sandwich.
Nah, you want me to tell you something? I was doing that for a couple weeks. This hash is too good. You could smoke this hash on a little pipe and get fucked up. Take a couple hits. It expands in your lungs nice. Like Lee likes. Lee likes when it expands in his fucking lungs.
I did. I had Dabs explain to me, and apparently the butane isn't bad. Like he was saying, it gets cooked off, so there's nothing in it.
Yeah, it burns so high.
So, but yeah, I actually liked them in Toronto. It was pretty cool.
I just think that shit's dangerous.
Yeah, I can't have it. I would burn my house down.
Dude, that's what I'm afraid of. People are going to burn their fucking houses down doing that shit, man.
Well, no, but the guy who was there had one that was battery operated, and that was apparently even stronger. So there's ways to do it, but that's just too much work for me.
Yeah, man. I mean, you gotta have a torch. I mean, fuck it. If I pass out on a hit, the lighter goes out. You know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck? I gotta clean up bong water. That's it. You know, that's the only problem. And it's like, this shit's dangerous. You got a fucking torch.
It's just so crazy how history repeats itself. In 1982, I just graduated. Some kid picked me up, Steve Vatalanis. And he's like, I hear you selling coke. I got this pimp who wants to buy coke. He buys coke all day for... This is a true story. He buys coke all day for his hookers. Okay, pick us up, Steve Vatalanis. He picks us up. Me, Raj, and we drive down there. And that's the guy who kept saying, every time we made a turn, he'd go, that was tremendous. That was tremendous. That right turn was tremendous. This cocaine was tremendous. The view is tremendous. This pimp is tremendous. Everything was fucking tremendous.
He was a pretty nice pimp.
Everything was fucking tremendous. He was a goofy fucker.
Was that his bottom bitch? Tremendous Jackson.
We get to the fucking hotel room. He's staying off of Tunley Avenue off the 19 there. I'm 18. We go into this guy's the pimp, and he's got these hookers. And he's like, listen, I want the best coke available because I cook it up. So I go test this. He tests it. He goes, oh, that shit's like 80%, whatever. I'll buy what you got. He bought. He goes, you want to take a hit of this shit? I took a hit of it. Was I impressed, guys? It took me 8 months to get high on coke. That's how much of a fiend I was. For 8 months, I thought people were lying to me. I thought people were putting me on. I would do coke and nothing would happen to me. And everybody else would be fucking, this is great. And I'd be sitting there going, oh, Jesus. These fucking saps are paying $50 just to tell people they're getting high. But then I did something. I had a drink one night. And once I had the alcohol in my system, a coke hit me. And I was like, oh, I get it now. I got to drink a little vodka to get this fucking cocaine flowing.
I don't remember when that story started.
Me neither. Who gives a fuck?
That's I love
best,
it.
That's the best thing about it. So I don't even know what. Why you got to laugh like that for? It sounds like Look at the shape of this poor bastard. What's your wife making, a turkey sandwich?
I don't know.
Oh, there's no fucking turkey alive.
Oh, my God.
If I want a turkey sandwich, I'll marry a chick named Mary. I'll marry the chick.
I don't keep carne asada at my house.
Well, tell her to fucking walk over to Rouse and get you a nice little fucking pig leg and cook that motherfucker up with some garlic so when the master gets home. Are you not the master or what? What the fuck? You don't put a cape on and tell her you're the master disaster? Walk around with your dick out and tell her, I don't give a fuck if you're the attorney, I'm the law. You know what I'm saying?
You really, I don't.
You got to represent yourself out of sucking this mule.
I married a Jubron. I don't say that shit.
Oh, no,
I like all my stuff, player.
I can't say that shit either.
You always get me in trouble.
Lee, you're so fun to hang out with. Lee, yeah, I like hanging out with you.
I'm proud of Lee for going to Toronto and taking a chance.
Good for you.
You know, man, you and I have discussed heart for years, and it bothers you more than it bothers me.
Yeah.
People that complain, but at the end, take me on the road. How many times you go out for spots this week?
Right.
But they just went specifically to the comedy club that night to talk to you.
Right.
To how bad their life was for you to take them on the fucking road with them. But in the meantime, they don't want to do nothing. They don't want to fucking tape a 5-minute set at a pizza place.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do a podcast. They don't want to do this room because the owner's an asshole, and they don't want to do it for $50.
Fuck you.
You're fucking dying on a vine. When you're dying on a vine, you do whatever they put in front of you because you know your talent is the only one that's going to gain.
Yeah.
When I lived in Seattle, that one woman, Laura Crocker, God fucking bless her soul in hell, fucking didn't like me. But she had 30 rooms. She was Josh Wolf's manager.
Yeah.
She had 30 fucking rooms, guys. And good rooms. So I would just call her up and go, do you mind if I do a guest set in your room? What's she going to say? She'd go, yeah. And I'd go down there, do a guest set, blow up the room. And the owner would go, why don't you work this room? I'd tell him, Laura don't like me. And for months I did this. And people go, why are you such an asshole? You're doing this for free. You should at least be getting $50. And I go, you don't understand. This is what I do. I'm going to get into an argument with her over $50. I'll go to another spot after this, and now I got 2 spots for the night, which is the goal of this. That's the goal when you're first starting out, to get 2 or 3 spots a night. Then you can really judge your fucking material and see what the fuck's going on. You learn that much quicker, you know?
That's what you have to do.
That's what you have to fucking do, so.
There's no getting around it. There's no fucking shortcut to the fucking top of the mountain. You can put out as many goddamn vines as you want. You can fucking tweet all day long and half the fucking night. And guess what? You still have to fucking get behind the microphone in front of live motherfuckers and fucking have new jokes. So many young comics, they write their first 5 minutes and then that they've never done before, and then they never do that again for another 6, 7, 8 years. Do they start going up with jokes that they've never done before? Here's 5 new minutes. And it's like they don't have balls. They get afraid they're going to lose something. They're not going to be funny if they don't. It's fucking bullshit. You know? I mean, these guys, you know that kid Matt Rife? He's like 19. He's on that show Wildin' Out now, and he's a good comic. Okay? He's not fucking great, but he is good. All right? I met that kid when he was 16 in fucking Ohio. He was hitting me up 6, 7 times a day on Twitter, Facebook, everything, asking for a fucking guest spot on my fucking theater show. And I'm like, oh, I don't know about this. And then the motherfucker showed up at my bus at fucking 8 in the morning with breakfast. His mom brought fucking lemonade. I'm like, fuck yeah. Kid, you're going up. This is fucking hard. This is some kid that wants to perform. I put him up and he rocked the motherfucker. Blew it up. And now he's doing TV. But it's that heart, that initial fucking nothing can stop me from making my goals happen. Okay? That is something that all these fucking of the bullshit young comics, they're just waiting for stuff to come to them.
It's not even young without comics.
Without a heart.
I saw a lot of old
comics. Oh my God, a lot of them.
Comics my age
that
have popped back up, and they're like, listen, can you do this? And you sit there and go, where have you been for 8 years?
Right.
You just stopped. You gave up. You didn't keep going up 3 times a week. I understand you had to get a day job.
Yeah.
But you didn't maintain this art. This is what you did for 8 years. You had a big investment in this. Think about if you would have put another 8 years into it, where you would have been right now. Where you would have fucking been right now. Why do you think I bug you about the jiu-jitsu, Lee? You think I'm bugging you because I like bugging you? Because John Budd said you're great. You move great. He goes, all he needs to lose is 40 pounds. He goes, if Lee keeps coming once a week, he's going to lose that 40 pounds. And I know that in a year, you're going to look at me and go, you know what? I'm happy. I got friends now over there. They call me up. They invite me to fucking parties. I'm not the fucking odd man out. Because people gain respect for you in a way. You know, you keep fucking going over there. It doesn't matter. The same thing applies to comedy or editing or any of those fucking things. That if you wouldn't have stopped doing it at this time, you would have been in 5 more years.
Right.
So at this point, you would have been doing comedy 10 years. But you came out here, went to Montreal, got a deal. The deal didn't work out, and you caved. A lot of people did that. A lot of people fucking did that. That's 50% of the game. Once they tell them all you need is 3 minutes, 5 minutes, go to Montreal. When I first got here with Ralphie May, guys, they were giving out major
fucking
league deals,
Jack.
You know what it is to sit with somebody, Lee, that you and him were broke, and now the word on the street was he had $250,000 for a network deal, and yeah, they give you particles, and
bro,
but they still give you 75 fucking up front, and you're still fucking eating fucking cheese grills, whatever.
Yeah.
Grilled cheese, I'm sorry, cheese grill. I got dyslexia. you know, it's just that you feel
how
bad.
How about the story of fucking chicken? All right, this kid goes up in Montreal, blows the fucking place apart. He gets $750K. Okay, all right, and his management, Three Arts, say he had a bunch of more shows, and they're like, "Fucking get out of here." All right, and they flew him back on a private jet to L.A. and said, you can't do any spots because they wanted the deal fucking made official because they were afraid the motherfucker was a hologram, which he was. It was the fucking, it was crazy. Google it, all right? Fucking show up chicken, all right? And then the guy, like 3 or 4 years later, commits suicide. You know,
it's but
like,
he had no reason. That guy was hiring him to do movies.
I know.
So what? The stand-up got him to where he wanted.
Exactly.
But he stopped. You know.
That was the last big deal, I think, Montreal gave out.
But now, he did Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
He did.
He was great.
He did a couple fucking movies
with that director.
He got plenty of stage time in Black Hawk Down. I don't know what he was depressed about. What was he depressed? Now, he wasn't the only one. There was a bunch of comics, not that they killed themselves, but that
they
left. I still remember a kid that looked just like Christopher fucking Reed that came from fucking Somerville, good looking as fuck, 6'1", I mean leading man material, buff, not real buff, but that model body. Guy was getting laughs at the improv, the Laugh Factory was getting laughs. And then they set up a showcase for him one night in the main room of the Comedy Store, and Dice decided to bump the guy in front of him. So Dice went up and ripped that room apart, and this poor kid went up there and died the death of many deaths. And I still remember his management walking out first, and that kid was in a Tonight Show and shit like that. I never saw him again.
Wow.
Never saw him again. There was a kid when I got here that was hotter than death. He had done The Tonight Show and Leno like 2 weeks apart. Something fucking crazy. I remember going into the improv. He had 5 people around him. He was eating them. They were toasting him. I remember spotting him going, oh, my God, that's the guy. I was like in awe of him. Well, guess what? I saw that bitch maybe 5 years ago at the YMCA with a fucking kid. And I went over and I'm like, hey, man, I remember you. What are you doing? And he goes, I write on a show. I haven't done stand-up in years. There are a bunch of fucking thieves out there. You know, just a typical guy that gave up in his mind. That if he would have stuck with it today, he would have done something. At least you fucking did something with it. You're already in 8, 9 years in. What the fuck are you going to do now?
Yeah, I mean, you've already gotten TV. You've already beaten 99%
of the people.
Comics.
You can't quit now. You know how many fucking goals I gave myself when I got here?
I know, man.
I used to give myself goals. I'm going to go back to Colorado and try to be a dad.
Bro, how about this one? I'm going to do a movie with Robert De Niro. I'm going to do a movie with Al Pacino. I'm going to do a movie with Adam Sandler.
Who's that?
That's you. You wrote it in my fucking, in my apartment. You wrote your goals down. I remember it. You called it in fucking, what was it, 2000? In 2000 you called it, and within, it took you for what, Adam Sandler? What year was that?
2004.
4 years for Adam Sandler. Okay, and then the other movie you did with De Niro and fucking Pacino. What was that one? The Rink, where the old guys
grudge
are...
Match. Grudge.
Yeah, Grudge Match. All right, and you got all those fucking goals down. I've never fucking seen anybody do that. That's fucking amazing. Coco did not have a fucking house. He was sleeping on my fucking floor, or when fucking Johnny West was being a fucking shithead, okay, Coco would lay on the goddamn floor, and if Johnny West was out banging chicks or fucking doing gigs, Coco had the futon, alright? He'd blow up my toilet, fucking take
when
three
John
showers a day.
When John went to El Paso, I had the futon. That's yeah. Right. We'd send John to El Paso.
And it was hot and we couldn't sleep, so we turned on Joey Medina's fucking cassette. I mean, his CD, and fucking we were out before the, like, three joke line. We're like, ugh. We were both out. It was the cure for insomnia. God bless
it. I still remember being in Colorado in 94 and going home at night. And there was a comedy newspaper then run by the people in San Francisco, John Fox. And I'm in the back. They had all the comedy club listed in states. And there was 5 pages down at comedy clubs.
Yeah, man.
And I would sit there at night.
It was sad. A magazine called Just for Laughs,
Just
right?
For Laughs. And I would yellow, you know, when you highlight. Yeah. Lee, wake up, cocksucker.
I'm up.
I would highlight all the clubs I wanted to work at. And I would cry and go, I'm never going to make it. This is like a fucking Igby's. I remember circling
yeah,
Igby's.
Man. And the punchlines were all
stock,
over.
The punchlines. And then my buddy Todd Jordan took me to Walnut Creek to do 10 minutes in front of him. And I ate that 2 shows. Oh, I'll never forget. I had doubts that fucking plane ride home. That was not for me, boy. I remember that turn of event. But we stuck it out. So you're in San Jose this weekend.
Yes, sir.
So starting Thursday.
Yes, sir.
2 Friday, 2 Saturday, 1 Sunday.
No Sunday.
Just Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then where you go next week?
I'm going to be back here Sunday morning. I'd love to have you guys come and barbecue. We'll go swim at the pool.
Let me know.
The pool is tremendous.
Let me know.
All right?
Brother.
And it'd be so much fun.
Let me know.
We can go have brunch over there, and then I'll have barbecue ready for us at the
Whatever
house.
You want to do, my brother.
It'll be a good time.
See you this weekend.
I want to get that baby in the pool with us, so she'll have a blast. But that's what I want to do on Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. Let's relax. And then the week after that, I'm in Salt Lake City, and then back on that Sunday. And then I'm going to be in Phoenix, Arizona at Stand Up Live. So that's the warm-up for the tour.
Talking to which?
I love her. Let me see her. Oh, mija.
Oh, yeah, she's swimming,
look at
Jack.
This baby. She's a swimmer. Look at
she's
that.
She's swimming, Jack.
She's a
That's
fish.
That's the real deal. That's the real deal, though.
I love it.
She's at that pool in Verdugo with fucking young adults swimming, kicking.
I love it.
My wife don't even run out there in that fucking deep end.
She's Check amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that amazing?
That's fucking crazy.
Look at
she
her.
She was barely fucking walking. Now she's in the pool on her back.
She's on her back?
Look.
I can see that. Holy shit.
Yeah, she don't fuck around. That's what she's been doing since she was 6 months
old. How
old
is she now, Coco?
She's 2 and a half.
2 and a half.
She's my fucking bodyguard. I can't shake her.
Good for you, man.
I'm so happy for you.
Hey,
as usual, my main motherfuckers, Onnit. Go to Onnit.com for the best. I mean the best. I read an article the other day that had Onnit in there, like toward macronutrients. I mean, that's how fucking good. I was blown away. And I'll tell you what. The staple, the Mac Daddy, Alpha Brain, 100% guarantee, complete earth-grown nootropics. We ain't fucking around. All your brain cells will be cooking on all cylinders. Who's better than you? And if it don't cook, maybe you're just retarded. But if it don't cook, Send it back to us. We don't even want the fucking thing. We'll send you back your money. Who does that? Who gives you that kind of guarantee?
Well,
but don't stop
retarded.
There. How about the tea for the fucking up your testosterone levels? They also have the coconut oil for your coffee. We ain't fucking around. New mood. I mean, listen, give it a shot. Columbus did. Go to honor.com right now and press in.
Church.
C-H-U-R-C-H. And get 10% off your first order. Who are you kidding? You need fucking Alpha Brain more than ever, cocksucker. You know what? I think I need a few Alpha Brains. Oh, second but not least, hitty6.com. What the fuck you get?
These are tremendous. Lee, I hope you have a bunch of these you can slip me, brother.
There's got a bunch of them there. I got some more.
Fuck yeah.
Hitty Six, the cigars are tremendous.
Tremendous.
The e-cigs are tremendous. The best thing about them is 1,200 guaranteed motherfucking pups, okay?
Oh, my dad ordered like 20 of them.
Yes, he did. You know why? Because they're fucking $10 a piece.
Oh, yeah.
So you get five for $50 right now. Go to hitty6.com and press in.
Joey's Church.
Joey's Church. And get five for $50. Cinque. You get five e-cigs and get a cigar. Get the 0, 8, 16, and 24, and you get quit off your fucking cigarette habit. Number three, my main motherfuckers, nailedtolife.com. Always there for you. Fucking whether you want to dab, blow yourself up, whether you want the Goomies or Mono, whether you want the best vapor pen in the business, that's what they knew, Nailed It Life. Pete and fucking Dave don't fuck around. So do me a favor. Go to nailedtolife.com. Look at that great selection of vapor pens, 100% guarantee. In fact, they got the vapor pen 20% off right now if you press in.
Joey Diaz.
Boom! 20% off. It's 50. You get it for fucking 40. You got a problem, you call Dave. Your fucking piece is there. No ifs, ands, buts about it. That's why we work with them. That's why we're family, all right? Don't forget to go see Ralphie May next week in San Jose. And the Flying Jew, I love him with all your heart. We'll be back Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Stay black, cocksuckers. You're going to play Highway to Hell. Fuck it.
Fuck yeah, man.
Thank you for coming on, Ralphie.
Man, I love you, Coco. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry, fans, if I was rude.
You weren't rude.
I'm kind of high. I apologize.
You're just speaking your mind and shit.
I love you, man. It's like feel like I'm talking at the kitchen table. I forget this is your show. My apologies, brother. No disrespect.
No disrespect at all. You never apologize. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you're my brother. I didn't want to fucking short you down.
You're really good.
I know. Man, how hot is that Jennifer Garner? What is that Ben Affleck thinking?
Did you see that fucking mistress?
Oh, my God. I know.
She was really hot?
Yeah, she's really hot. God. She ain't that shit Schwarzenegger got with.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll tell you that, fucking Christ.
Okay.
That thing was brutal. You see that?
No.
Oh, good Lord Jesus. Looked like Coco with a wig on.
Who?
That fucking Schwarzenegger maid.
Oh, she's ugly as
fuck. Fucking brutal. Got my tits, though, so, you know, it ain't all a loss.
On that note, this show is brought to you by Honor.com. Go to Honor.com and use code word church to get 10% off. Wait, do you say your website?
I'm RalphieMay.com, and follow me, guys, on Twitter. I'm at Ralphie_May. It's really me. I'm sorry if you're mad. I love you anyways. Thanks for having me here. You know, that you don't know. When we were fucking high and you're living with me, you're like, Ralphie May, you're going to be the fucking deacon of the church of what's happening now. So I feel like it's always good to come back to the church. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't mad at you, bro.
I love you.
I love that you're back in on Monday night fucking around. We got high and that's it. That's how we do it here. No editing, just straight up. What are you going to do? We love you, cocksuckers. Lee, read the final results.
All right. Go to honor.com and use code word church to get 10% off all the great optimization.
You got Highway to Hell?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Somebody's doing it. Go to honor.com, use code word church, 10% off all the great optimization products. Go to hitesigs.com and use code word Joey's Church to get 5 hit e6 for $50. Hit e6, better tasting, longer lasting, and the proof is in the vape. And go to nailedtolife.com and use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off the premier vapor pen.
I'm too high to give blood to
him.
I'm going to freak out.
No, man, you're going to be calm. Breathe through your nose. You'll be fine.
Okay. I'm
spray my nose with Afrin and shit.
Yeah, clear it up. Open it up.
I finish up here, bro.
We're done.
Hey, I talked to Jimmy Schubert the other day. He told me to tell you hello.